This podcast is part of the Erotica Podcast Network. We offer a free Erotica podcast and a premium Patron Taboo podcast which contains more intense sexual themes. You can subscribe to the premium podcast for $2 per month or support the Erotica Podcast on Patreon to support us and allows members to request future stories and themes. Thank you for listening. This podcast contains mature content and is intended for an adult audience only. It contains explicit words, thoughts, and ideas. The content of all stories is fiction with any similarities to real people or events being purely coincidental. This podcast is not intended for anything but entertainment of the listener, and if you do not agree with the themes listed in the tags, please do not listen to the story. All characters engaging in sexual relationships or activities are 18 years old or older. This story was found on a free website and brought to audio form here. I did not write and take no credit for this story. Please visit the link in the comments to further support this author. Dream Drive Part 2 by Overed. Chapter 03. Jackson Vidalt. We need to talk. Pala and Jackson were at the edge of the encampment, where the pointed teepees ended and the open fields began. Behind them, the collected herd of the nomadic band was carefully watched by several men, themselves on horseback. Pala was astride his own horse, Smallgrass, having just retrieved her to introduce her to Jackson. Either the young boy nor the other men used saddles. They controlled the animals entirely with the pressure of their legs and feet. Only a thin set of reins draped around the jaw of a horse allowed for them to command their mount to stop. Pala didn't even use one with Smallgrass. Jackson had never seen a live horse before. The steel jungle of modern-day Boston, centered in the northern section of the sprawl, was not a place that had many animals. His attention, however, was now away from the herd, and on the man that had addressed him. All the people of the plains seemed tall, but Bunta stood out again in that he was stocky, muscular. His hair was short, and his jaw was wide. He cut an intimidating figure. Jackson stepped away from Pala and Smallgrass. All right. What do you want to talk about? Bunta glanced at Pala. This is a conversation between men, Pala. Take Smallgrass out for a bit. How come? Just do it. Fine. Pala clicked his teeth and tugged the reins. Smallgrass turned on a dime and trotted off back around the edge of the herd. Jackson waited until Pala was out of earshot. So what's this about? What are your intentions upon Chalky? Bunta asked. Chalky? What do you mean? Bunta walked up to Jackson until they stood chest to chest, well beyond the polite boundary of personal space. Bunta was easily a head taller. The comparison was almost funny, the thin, pale white Jackson against a brown-skinned man born and bred hunting bison and surviving in the wilderness. You know what I mean, Bunta said. Jackson felt his heart start thumping. His mouth felt dry. He didn't like letting his emotions get the better of him, but he couldn't deny the steady pressure of flight-or-fight syndrome that was making his stomach tighten. His first reaction was usually flight. He wasn't the athletic type. Fighting was a frighteningly lethal prospect. He liked being alive, but the little red health bar in the corner of Jackson's sight reminded him that he didn't need to run. He didn't need to care about injuries, because he couldn't be injured. He'd had a dagger in his stomach and been clawed across the face, and all he had to show for it was a nasty pinching sensation. Bunta could make Jackson somewhat uncomfortable, definitely, but unlike Jackson, he wouldn't recover from having his eyes gouged out. It's none of your business, Jackson said. I am the son of an elder of this tribe, Bunta said. I'm making it my business, Jackson shrugged. Chalky is attractive. I think she finds me attractive, too. Is that a problem?
Yes.
Stay away from her. You are an outsider. She needs someone that can protect her, someone who understands her as a woman under the mountain. Not a stranger that could be blown over by a stiff wind. And you're that someone, huh?
Yes,
Bunta said. I am.
I will be.
That's funny, Jackson said. I could have sworn I overheard Chalky telling you to screw off before Pala brought me over to see his horse. You should pick your words more carefully, Jackson Vidalt. I'll say what I damn well please, Bunta. I could break you like a dry twig.
You could try.
They stood there, watching each other, either one moving. Bunta was the first to break their stare. He glanced toward the herd. If she was so easy to win over, she wouldn't be worth the winning, he said. I will convince her yet. She will be mine. If you get in my way, I'll make you regret it. Your presence is a disruption. You're dangerous. I don't see how. You have no perspective. That is not surprising. You're an outsider. He looked back at Jackson. Chalky remembers her father's spirit, and she sees glory in making war. I look to the south and see the Iron Men. Their armor shields them. Their magic can shake the skies. We cannot best them in battle. I would have advocated making them allies, establishing a more open and mutually prosperous relationship. We have much to gain from them, and they from us, perhaps. Jackson shrugged. I guess, that seems reasonable. But that, Bunta said, is a radical notion to my people. Our way of life is sacred. Introducing such dramatic change is considered poisonous. The spirit guides are unanimous on the subject. They say that the arrogance of the Iron Men, their drive to dominate nature, is exactly the sort of behavior that made the angels leave us behind so long ago. Did you say angels? Jackson asked. I have not the time or inclination to explain our ways to an outsider. You don't seem to hold your ways in very high regard. It is not that. Merely that there are other ways that could be better. Bunta sighed. Since my progressive attitudes are shunned, the only recourse is to avoid the Iron Men altogether. Chalky, though, well, she is stubborn. Even you must know that.
Jackson decided that drawing conclusions based on what Bunta told him would land him in hot water. He settled on a shrug.
I see where you're coming from, but the political moves of the people under the mountain are above my pay grade.
Bunta raised an eyebrow.
Pay grade?
Jackson sighed.
Look, what does any of this have to do with me being dangerous? That's the point you're trying to make, right?
You are a token, Bunta said. A piece that will be used to advocate for war. I do not know how Shaka will go about it, but I know she will use you. She has overplayed her hand. She is too eager about you. And so, I've come to ask you to leave. Politely.
This is polite?
It is as much politeness as I am willing to afford you.
What's your problem with Shaka?
Her mind has been changed on the subject, Bunta said.
I gathered that quickly. She will favor war, and hers is a strong voice, even amongst the gathered tribes. You will somehow figure in her arguments.
Ah. Bunta nodded.
A source of information. A foreign warrior, you must have knowledge of the Iron Men. Their strengths, their weaknesses. She sees this as the tipping weight that will give us an advantage. I see it as an invitation to a swift death. We already know where the gaps are in the armor of the Iron Men, but actually hitting those spots with arrows is another matter entirely. You will not change that.
Jackson decided not to correct his assumption.
So what if I like it here on the plains and I don't feel like leaving?
Then you will find that the land does not take kindly to strangers.
Is that a threat?
Yes.
Hey, Bunta?
What?
Go fuck yourself.
Bunta made a long-suffering sigh.
I am trying to be patient with you, Jackson Vidalt. You did save her life, and Pala, and Shaka. This is why I am asking you to leave, rather than otherwise.
Sever your ties with Chalky. It is better for her, and better for all of us as a whole.
History has shown, Jackson said,
that if you retreat now, eventually you'll lose everything. Their toehold on the plains will expand faster than you can possibly imagine. They'll spread until there is nowhere else for you to go, and at that point, you won't be fighting to keep them away, just to survive. But the window of opportunity will be gone. You'll lose the fight because you waited too long. You'll be confined dash.
He squished his thumb and forefinger together.
To a tiny little section of the plains, and the process will make your people a shell of themselves, assuming you aren't slaughtered outright. You'll become a cultural anomaly. Like a caged-up horse put on display at the circus. Eventually, you'll build giant casinos and get your revenge, but that's not until you've suffered in ignorance and extreme poverty for several hundred years.
What in the nine hells are you babbling about?
I don't have time for this drama bullshit, Jackson said.
You don't seem like a totally bad guy.
You're just dumb and jealous.
Guess what?
Chalky likes me, and I like her, too.
Get over it and move on.
I'm not going anywhere.
I don't know what makes you think you can best me.
Chalky probably inflated the tales of your so-called bravery just to taunt me.
Yeah, she did, Jackson said.
I'm not that great.
You admit your own weakness?
I do,
Jackson said.
And I think she likes me in part because I don't strut around like a giant asshole. Unlike some people. We shall see who she admires when I'm grinding your honor and your face into the dirt.
You don't want to mess with me.
I won't mess with you, Jackson Vidalt.
I'll crush you.
Go ahead.
Let's what happens.
I'm seriously considering it.
Again, they stood there, staring at one another. Jackson left his spear and shield near Chalky's tent, but he still had his two daggers tucked into his belt. He had no doubts that Bunta was probably faster, stronger, and better in a fight, but Jackson was a tier above normal humans, at least in this place. He waited for Bunta to make the first move. He'd just take the first hit, then dash.
What are you two doing?
An old voice called.
Butting heads already?
Shaka was ambling toward them. Now that she'd had a chance to change into some real clothes, she looked in her element. Her grayed hair was tied into a long ponytail that hung down her back. Bony hands protruded from the sleeves of a dress that were decorated with feathers and chains of beads and bone. Despite her age, she moved with a precise grace, stepping across the grass as if she were skating on water. She stopped in front of them, examining first Jackson, and then Bunta.
Well?
Bunta,
Jackson said.
Was just coming over to say that what he said earlier wasn't meant personally. He was just thinking about the tribe. And to thank me for saving you and the others.
That excuse reeks more than wet bison stool,
Shaka said.
But I shall allow it to stand, Jackson, follow me. We have much to discuss.
She turned away without a word to Bunta, remembering her promise of answers and of runes. Jackson fell into step behind her.
See you, Bunta.
Thanks for the talk, I appreciated it.
Of course,
Bunta called.
I'll look to the day we can finish our conversation.
Can't wait.
Shaka led Jackson through the maze of teepees and cooking fires until they reached her tent. There was recent repair work done on it. A long patch partly covered a wide tear in the hide siding. Jackson figured that was damage done in the raid when she'd been captured. Shaka held the entrance flap for him. The teepee looked simple from the outside, but it was a sophisticated living space. It was wide enough to allow for a fire, and adjustable side flaps let in fresh air so that the smoke didn't choke the occupants. He could see a sort of hide rain canvas stretched higher near the top of the structure. The floor was covered with thick, furred skins, and there was a small ditch dug at one end of the space for drainage. The air had a different smell, though. Jackson sniffed. Some sort of sharp incense, like cinnamon and vinegar. It wasn't unpleasant. He spotted an actual wooden trunk at one end of the teepee. A bison skull with a long feathered shawl attached to the bottom lay on top of it. Shaka dipped him a cup of water using a hollowed-out horn.
Here.
Jackson slurped greedily.
Thank you.
I won't involve myself with Bunta unless you ask.
Shaka said.
But don't do anything stupid. He is the elder son.
Jackson shrugged.
He's angry about me and Chaki. I don't care, but if he tries anything, I'm going to defend myself.
Shaka chuckled.
Hmm. You and Chaki have grown rather close. Will you take her as a wife?
Jackson spit onto the floor of the teepee. He coughed, trying to cut off the drool.
Come again?
Shaka laughed louder.
Do not waste my water, Jackson.
Chaki would make an excellent first wife.
First?
Yes. Passionate, intelligent, a good head of household. Able to keep other women in line. Perhaps a little stubborn, but a strong man like you will tame that, surely, and you are both of age. And she likes you, a rare enough occurrence all by itself. You should consider it. It would bond you to the tribe more deeply.
Bunta's assertion that Shaka wanted to use him floated up in his thoughts. Jackson cleared his throat.
Speaking of that, I never said I wanted to be in the tribe. Why the hell did you spring that on me back there?
Shaka peered at him over her own cup.
For the same reason I left Chaki alone with you on the trail. I'm just going to get to the point, so don't be offended. I would say your bluntness is one of your better qualities.
Great.
Bunta and I had a little discussion, and he said you planned on using me.
I gotta admit, I can see what he's saying. You're actually trying to set me up with Chaki.
Suddenly, you want me in the tribe.
What's going on?
It seems like you need me for something.
Shaka sipped her drink.
First, she said, if you are in the tribe, there is less aquam to teach you runes. I make great exception for you, Jackson, because of what you did for us. So, you're going to teach me?
Yes.
I am.
Here, sit. They both folded their legs and sat next to the smoldering fire.
Second, Chaki needs a worthy husband. She is my student. I am concerned for her welfare.
You are a good match.
I'm flattered.
I think.
I've never been set up before.
Shaka smiled.
Then let this be your first time.
All right.
Jackson said. The runes are one thing. And Chaki's another. But it's not like the band seems short on eligible bachelors.
What's the real reason?
You are a powerful warrior, Jackson.
Shaka said.
We are going to make war on the Iron Men. I wish you to be tied firmly to our band when this occurs.
The light went off.
Now I get it. You want me on your side because you appreciate what I am.
That is correct.
I don't like Bunta very much, but he raised a fair point about war.
Jackson said.
It sounds great when you think about what you stand to gain, but actually going through with it sucks.
It sucks a lot.
You sound as though you have experience in the matter.
In my world.
Jackson said.
We're at war.
We've been fighting for 6 years. I'm not really directly involved, but you see how it changes things. If there's a chance at coming to agreement with the Iron Men, I think you should. It isn't as simple as it seems.
Shaka said.
We are the protectors of this land. We cannot allow it to be encroached upon. And this is not the first raid.
Have you tried talking to these people?
Last year, the Mountain Meat sent a spirit guide, 10 warriors, and a trader that knew the language to their lands, in order to broker a formal agreement.
Shaka said.
We received a message that they had made contact with local elders and were being escorted to where their leader lived.
What happened?
They have not been heard from since.
Shit.
Jackson said. Not much I can say to that.
Shaka raised her hand, palm up.
Even then, I was hesitant to commit to war, for the very reasons you cited. Even if justified, it damages the spirits of those that participate. I feeds the purpose of bad spirits to set men against one another. So, there is the truth of the matter.
I do not mean to use you, Jackson.
Should you refuse to join us, I shall inform you of your true nature, as promised, and send you on your way.
Jackson stared at his water horn. He took another sip. He looked at the fire.
Okay.
Sounds good.
That easily?
Chaki, and you, and Pala. There's something worth defending. I'm not saying I'll raid villages, but if our warriors and their soldiers fight each other, I'll fight for the people under the mountain.
Jackson cocked his head.
By the way, does the tribe have a name?
Our band is one half of the Windseekers.
Shaka said.
The other tribes are the Dust Scatterers, the Three Hills, the Drawn Bows, and the East Walkers.
Jackson nodded. He set his empty horn down, then slapped his hands to his knees.
All right. Shaka. Help me out here. What the hell am I exactly? What is this scar? What am I supposed to be doing? I want you to appreciate this, Jackson.
Shaka said.
This knowledge has been passed down to me over a great length of time. Many generations. What I am to tell you, now, you repeat to no one else aside from other spirit guides. Do you understand? What about Chaki? If I made you promise not to tell her, would it stop you?
Maybe. Shaka snorted.
An honest answer. If she asks, you may answer her.
Thank you. Shaka leaned from her sitting position and took up a stick with a round rock tied to the end. She prodded it through the embers of the fire, giving the flames a little life.
There are spirits in the earth, Jackson. Spirits great, powerful, and mysterious. Aside from the sun and Mother Earth herself, there is one known as Shakan, the Great Guide. The position is more like a provider to most of the tribe, but Shakan steers us through our lives much more closely than many in the tribes imagine. The people under the mountain are in fact servants of Shakan.
Shakan gives us what we require, here on the plains, and in turn, we are the guardians of the mountain. And we can allow no other peoples to come close to it.
Why?
It is a gateway, Shaka said, to two places. One is the beneath, the foundation of worlds, wherein Shakan dwells. The other is the next level of the Tower of the Angels, Babel.
Go on.
The tower is sacred, Shaka said. No normal man may traverse its height. The beneath, too, is not to be touched by mortal hands. It is where the angels stayed when they first left heaven.
What's the point of the tower?
Jackson asked. The tower is a proclamation to the greatest of all spirits, the progenitor of the sun and the earth, the one above the sky. The angels, themselves great spirits who are his subordinates, spend their days in adulation and prayer to this highest of beings. The construction of Babel is their greatest prayer, their most ardent adulation.
All right, Jackson said.
It didn't sound anything like the biblical myth he was familiar with, but whatever.
So where do I come into all of this?
Over the past 5 years, Shaka said. All the spirit guides have seen visions sent by Shakan. The demons, twisted spirits that hate life, have gathered to smite the angels and destroy the tower before it is completed. We have spoken of it at the mountain meet. You are the first person who is not a spirit guide to learn of this.
What does that have to do with me?
There is a symbol that represents Shakan, Shaka said. It is a symbol so precious, so sacred, that only spirit guides know of it, and even then, we rarely speak of it. Not even Chaki knows this sign.
What sign?
The same that has inscribed itself upon your left hand. Jackson's eyes flicked to the back of his hand. The black scar was still there, an inverted pentagram, crudely tattooed into his skin, as if the ink had bled out. Where he'd cut into his own hand in his sleep. The fire dimmed. There was a strong breeze. The flaps of the teepee fluttered. Jackson felt his spine shiver. Shaka looked at him, and her gaze was like the dimming fire.
Dark.
Unreadable. Shakan spoke to us. The great guide said that people would begin to appear from another world. This world is itself the final gateway to the above, what will soon become the pinnacle of Babel. We would know them immediately, for they would be marked with the symbol. She pointed a finger at him. You are a chosen warrior of Shakan. For 5 years he has foretold of your coming. You are the first. Others shall surely follow. We are to bring you to the place under the mountain, where this world touches the beneath, and there you shall meet with Shakan, and the great guide shall grant you a vision.
What vision?
Shakan has not seen fit to tell us. We have discussed the matter at length, and I believe your actions have confirmed what we suspected was the case. You, and the others, shall be warriors sent to scour Babel of demons, and spare the world that connects to the above.
Damn.
Jackson took a breath. That was definitely a hell of a mission.
So, what now?
Shaka slapped her leg and leaned back. Her croaking laughter filled the teepee. The grim spell that hung over the room broke, as if the sun had moved out from under a cloud.
What?
Jackson asked.
I wasn't joking.
Jackson Vidalt. She said. I tell you the gravest thing I have ever heard. I tell you that the demons are warring with the angels. I tell you that you are to march in the army of Shakan, and you merely ask what comes next. You have no sense of self. Jackson wasn't sure how to react, so he did the thing he usually did when that was the case.
He shrugged.
I guess. At the end of the mountain meet, Shaka said, the spirit guides gather to journey under the mountain with the tribe elders. There, we commune with Shakan. It is there that we receive visions most strongly. When that time comes, we will bring you with us, and you shall meet with Shakan face to face. I have a feeling I'll hear what you just told me.
Indeed,
Shaka said. For Shakan is the guardian and foundation of the tower. I should think that those he marked with his symbol would share this purpose. But new revelations are likely. Shakan tells us only what need be known, and no more.
Hang on,
Jackson said. I already know that I was banished from the top of the tower because of this. Jackson pointed at his wrist. Supposedly it makes me a danger to people and angels. Why would I get banished from the tower for being made a guardian of the tower? It is a strange contradiction, Shaka said. Perhaps demons convinced the other men that you were not to be trusted as a means to get rid of you. Or perhaps it was a device to bring you here, so that Shakan could meet with you. The spirits sometimes work in ways that seem contrary, at first, their purpose only later becoming clear.
Huh. Maybe.
Jackson wasn't convinced, but he didn't have any better theories. So I meet with this Shakan guy, and then I go kick some demon ass.
Sounds good.
Shaka chuckled.
Shakan guy?
I suppose that after you meet her, yes, you'll go kick demon ass.
Shakan's a chick?
Shaka raised her eyebrows. Jackson said. Not that I have a problem with that, or anything.
Be careful with that tongue, or Chaki might shorten it with her knife.
Shaka said. Now, I expect it to take us 10 days or so to reach the mountain, where the meet shall be held. In the meantime, I will teach you runes.
When do we start?
Not today, Shaka said. I think half the tribe believes me immortal, but our ordeal has exhausted me. I plan on sleeping until the feast. We will start tomorrow.
Sleep?
Jackson's yawn came on suddenly. He covered his mouth.
Sounds real good. Is there a spot I can crash?
Shaka patted the furry floor of her tent. She stood up and rummaged in a corner, then threw him a blanket.
I hope you do not snore.
Are both of us here? Chaki is young, but I have seen more than 60 winters, Jackson.
I am beyond modesty.
Shaka promptly rolled over and drew the blanket around herself.
Someone knows to wake us when evening has come on in full.
The feast will be after sunset.
Sleep.
I will. I'm just going to go home, first.
Back to your world?
Shaka opened her eyes and watched him.
How long?
Just a few minutes, Jackson said. I'm not too worried, but it's been more than half a day.
I need to check in.
Will you return here?
Yeah.
I think it puts me back more or less where I was. Do not be long.
I won't.
Jackson started to say the words, but he stopped. Shaka. Say Shakan wants me to leave this part of the tower, MMM. You would be leaving us behind. We might make war without you. Her edicts will supersede any promises you make to me. Jackson wasn't sure if he liked that idea. He liked Shaka. He liked Pala. He definitely liked Chaki. And these people were good. Strong. He wanted to know more about them. Jackson didn't fit into the tribe yet. He was a square peg being pushed into a round hole. But compared to home, it was the best thing that had ever happened to him. He could see a future here. He could see life here.
Game menu, Jackson said.
He logged out. The process was a lot faster this time. He supposed the software or magic, or whatever the fuck it was, recognized Shaka's teepee as a secure location. He was back on Earth, lying on his mattress, staring up at the roof of his room. He drew his dream drive off his head and set it down on the bed next to him. He looked down at his hand. The pentagram scar wasn't there anymore. The alley out his window was nearly pitch. He went to his desk and sat at the computer monitor. The clock told him it was 4 a.m. That meant Isis was a little over half a day ahead of real life. Or behind. He decided not to worry about that part. A few clicks brought up his camera's recording. It now had several hours of footage. He skipped back to the beginning. He saw himself lying on his bed. His helmet clicked into place, pistons locking it to his head. His body went still, and his breathing evened out. A rune appeared on his red helmet. A pentagram. It flashed white. A matching symbol flashed on his hand. His body melted away into thin air, starting from his head. It was as if he was ink, and someone was washing him away with the universe's whiteout. It only took a few seconds. Well then, Jackson deleted the video footage. As an afterthought, he ran a scrubbing program to permanently clear his optical drive of the data, just in case. A little paranoia went a long way. The implications really were staggering. Magic existed in the real world. He was being transported somewhere else. On an impulse, Jackson said the words again.
Game menu.
A light flashed on his wrist. He flinched away from it, but it was just his scar. It unraveled across his skin, revealing itself. The translucent screen of the Isis's menu appeared in front of him. It showed a picture of him standing, arms at his sides, in his white t-shirt and blue jeans. He was equipped with a smartphone. A chuckle bubbled out of Jackson's mouth. It was the half-ecstatic, half-frightened laugh of a man that had just discovered his life had been turned into a video game by magic. He spent a few moments flicking through the panels. Everything was still there, his skills, his statistics. He still had 25 essence left. In the upper corner, he could see his health bar again. Did that all still apply in real life? He could try to use a skill, but he didn't want to waste the essence. Jackson stayed in the screen for a moment, flicking through his options. He entered the user interface section. There was almost three scrolling pages of choices to adjust his heads-up display, including a few things that hinted at a party system and individual enemy targeting. He promised himself to go through it more thoroughly at a later time and kept on for what he was looking. There was a slider to display his health and essence, but it had two segments, Isis and Overworld. The Isis side was on, but the Overworld half was off. Assuming that Earth was the Overworld, Jackson flicked it on. There was another tab, too, that enabled him to turn on a minimap. And at the very bottom, he noted an option that would fade out his HUD after a few seconds to keep his vision clear. Hey, was that a... He stopped himself. He'd be there all day if he kept it up. He allowed himself to turn the fader on.
Close menu.
The screens vanished. His sight was now overlaid with his health bar and essence counter on the upper left. In the lower right, there was a small map of his immediate surroundings. It was labeled Jackson's apartment. He was a little green arrow in the center. He turned toward his window, and the arrow rotated, pointing the way he was facing. He tried reaching out and touching the map. Immediately it expanded in his view, a full-color blueprint of his home. A compass pointed out which direction was north. The rooms were all labeled Jackson's room. Mom's room. Bathroom. Living room. Kitchen. A little blue pointer marked the front door. Jackson tapped the map again. It shrunk back into the corner of his vision. He went for his door. The green arrow followed his progress. Another giddy laugh burst out of his mouth. Jackson went down the hall. The door to his mother's room was closed. He was wondering how he'd test the fader option when he noticed that his health bar and minimap were gone. As soon as he thought about it, they reappeared, as if the game was reading his intentions. It didn't make much of a difference at the moment, but if he turned on a lot of the HUD options, having a clear field of view would be important at times. He made his way into the kitchen. He scrunched his nose at the smell of scummy food. She still hadn't cleaned up. There was a sticky note taped to the fridge. Went out. Be back later. It was rare she even bothered leaving a note. Sometimes he wondered if she'd just leave one day and never come back. Sometimes he wondered what he'd do if something happened to her. Probably report it to the police, or something. He sat at one of two chairs at the little plastic table. He didn't like this place. His apartment was gray. Colorless. There wasn't any life in his life. But there was life in Isis. He saw a knife sitting on the counter, the same one he'd used to open the package his game came in. an idea struck him. He snatched it up and raised it near his hand. Wait. If he was wrong about this, he'd kick himself. Several times, Jackson went to the sink. He thoroughly scrubbed his hands, and the knife, until it was sparkling clean. Still not satisfied, he located the bottle of isopropyl alcohol under the sink, doused the paper towel with it, then scrubbed the knife sterile. He sat down, then swabbed a big spot on the front of his right forearm with more alcohol. The bone would stop him from going too deep. Probably. Jackson patted the table with more paper towels. He took a few breaths and settled himself in the chair. He positioned the point of the knife next to his skin. He flicked it across his forearm, cutting as lightly as he could. He winced and drew back. Fuck. He should have known better than to. He blinked. No more pain. He pushed the skin around with his hand. Nothing. No sign of a cut. Holy shit. His eyes went to his health bar. It had dropped almost imperceptibly. He looked back at his arm. Fucking shit. He stood from his chair so fast he knocked it back to the floor. I'm invincible. Holy fucking shit. Jackson felt like he just won the Olympic gold for something. He picked the chair up and sat back down. He made another cut, then another. No blood, no wound. That he decided to get a little more daring. He swept the knife deep into the soft space between his thumb and forefinger. It felt like getting a vaccine, a sudden, uncomfortable jab, then nothing. He flexed his hand. Not even a scratch, though his experiments had nicked his health bar a bit more. He set the knife down on the table and leaned back in his chair. He ran his hands through his hair. What did this mean? How was it possible? What would happen if his health bar ran out? Would he start taking injuries, like normal, or would he just keel over? Emil Muhammad had been working with Crux on this game for 5 years. His message to Jackson back at the start of all this was clearly intended to communicate that this was not just a game. What did the man want from all this? What was the point? Demons, angels, the Tower of Babel? Magic? Had he discovered magic somewhere on Earth, then set all this in motion? What for? And then it hit him. 5 years. That was the same amount of time that the spirit guides had been getting visions from Shakan. Jackson felt a crawling sensation slide over his neck. He swallowed. Everything seemed connected, but he had no idea what it all meant. For a moment, he considered the idea that he really didn't want to be involved in any of this. He dismissed it almost immediately. He didn't exactly have any other pressing appointments. What he told Chalky was the truth. If he died right then, right there, no one would care. He was empowered by the world's apathy. The world didn't care about him, so he didn't need to care about the world. He could do whatever he wanted. His life was empty. Isis filled it. He'd meet with Shakan. And then, well, he'd figure it out. Crux's top gamer competition would be over in one more day, but half of the finalists were already eliminated. They'd be getting their packages in the mail soon, if they didn't already have them. Jackson wondered if they'd pop into the game in the same place he had, or even if their data chips would be enchanted as his was. Shaka seemed to think that there would be others like him, assuming they did come into the same world. If the base of the tower was a whole planet, or even just a continent, the chances of a small handful of people coming into contact were extremely low. He didn't really get any hints to start out with. The fact that he'd lucked into finding Shaka, Chalky, and Pala was just that, blind luck. Or maybe what Chalky said had merit. Maybe it was fated. In a world where magic was real, who knew what was possible? Wouldn't they all have to go to the mountain in the end? That was the gate up to the next level of the tower, the obvious step forward. Then again, there could be more than one route. Jackson decided not to risk trying a triple thrust with the kitchen knife, but it seemed all but certain that the remainder of his skills would carry over to the real world. If that was the case, his head started roiling again. If the other players gained the same abilities, then who knew what they could all get away with? He could probably take a bullet or two and walk away. He could fight crime. Hell, if he had the motivation, he could be a criminal. Superhero, or supervillain, the finalists would enjoy exclusivity in the game for 2 weeks. After that, every other beta player, selected in the big lottery, would be getting their copies. Isis would be flooded by over 5,000 players. Emil Muhammad was creating thousands of superhumans to fight demons, sure. But who was watching the Watchmen? Jackson's eyelids felt heavy. His brain protested against thinking any harder than he already had. He grunted, pushing himself out of the chair, and walked back to his room. He'd consider life, the universe, and everything at a later time. Right now, he wanted sleep. A few moments later, he was back in Isis. The teepee was quiet. Shaka's head rotated. She cracked an eye to take him in, grunted a half-breath through her lips, then rolled back over. Jackson pulled his blanket over himself and went to sleep. It was black and dreamless. There was a voice calling into the teepee. Shaka? It is the time you asked for. Jackson pried his eyes open. He had the timeless grogginess that comes after taking a nap in the middle of the day. His body had no sense of the when. And he could have definitely gone for another few hours. Thank you, Drana. Shaka was already sitting upright and folding her blanket. She looked like she'd slept for days. I have water, should I be able to enter? Please. Drana stooped through the flap of the teepee. She was a wide-hipped girl, shorter than Chalky, but she shared the rich brown skin and dark brown hair of the people under the mountain. She was carrying a sewn, watertight container. She looked at Jackson, and her eyes widened. Oh. You're high. Jackson mumbled. He rubbed his eyes. This is Jackson Vidalt. Shaka said. Jackson, this is Drana. A good friend of Chalky. He tried to sit up straighter.
Nice to meet you.
Yes.
Likewise.
Drana set the container on the ground and clasped her hands. She gave Jackson a short bow.
Thank you for helping our tribe.
Sure.
She flashed him a grin.
Chalky admitted you were exotic, but she played it down. I guess he wants to keep you all to herself.
Jackson blinked. Shaka chuckled.
Don't let her teasing overcome you, Jackson.
She flirts with every man in the tribe.
Just the handsome ones.
Drana winked at him.
Such a scandal, this young warrior and Shaka, sleeping together in her teepee. What will Chalky say?
She laughed, and ducked out of the tent. She seemed friendly.
Jackson offered.
She is a bit young still.
Shaka said.
But a good enough girl.
Here.
These should fit you well enough.
Shaka offered him a set of hide leggings and a shirt, as well as a coat.
Why do you have men's clothes?
They were my late husband's garments.
Oh.
Jackson looked down at the bundle.
Yeah. Didn't think of that.
Sorry.
For the sake of the spirits, boy, I won't crumble at the mention of my dead partner.
She cackled.
I used to be young and pretty too, you know.
Now off to the creek with you.
You should be clean for this.
Actually, I'm going to pop back to my world again.
Jackson said. He set down his bundle.
I've got a better way of getting clean. Be back in a few minutes.
All right.
Then I am to the creek myself.
Come find me when you return.
Got it.
Jackson logged out and appeared back in his apartment. A line of bright sunshine outside the window told him that several hours had passed. He started for the bathroom. Loud snores coming from an open door on the other end of the hall told him his mother had returned at some point. He hopped into the shower. Praise be to the electron. After all the running, fighting, blood, and general crap that he'd had to deal with, a good modernized scrubbing was exactly what he needed. He'd been trying to roll with it, but his OCD was going haywire with all the dirt and sweat and smells. Jackson made the shower a quick one, then stepped out and toweled off. The mirror had fogged up, but his hair was always a mess, anyway. He rubbed it dry enough that he wouldn't be worried about the dream drive getting wet. Come to think of it, he'd wasted all that time rebuilding his computer. Isis ran on magic, not technology. Or did he? It seemed like a blend. A magic that used technology to enhance itself, or the other way around. He'd have to use his drive wirelessly and see if he could notice a difference. When he logged back in, the teepee was empty. He could hear the wind and sounds of the camp outside people, the barking of dogs. They had quite a few of those. Jackson undid his belt and worked the torn-up leggings off. He was stepping into his new set of clothes when Chalky ducked under flap.
Shaka, I don't know if Drana told you, but dash.
Chalky stopped. Her eyes traveled down, then up. They widened. Jackson felt like a deer in the headlights.
Oh, Miss Spirits Jack, I'm sorry.
She fled, stumbling through the entrance flap in her effort to get away as fast as possible. Jack swallowed, forced his blush down, and finished putting on his clothes. So, that was a thing that had just happened. The pants were actually a good fit for him, this time, and the hide shirt felt comfortable. The shoulders were padded with fur. Shaka's husband must have been about his size. He tried to mat his wet hair into a state he imagined was slightly more presentable. As soon as he moved his hands away, it fell apart again. He sighed, then stepped out into the air. It was dark. The camp was lit by fires scattered through the teepees. Chalky was standing on the other side of Shaka's tent, facing away from the light. Her hands were balled into fists and tucked at her sides.
Chalky?
She whirled. Her lips were scrunched together. Her face was flushed dark.
Jackson, I apologize. I just, earlier, and then I walked right and usually, there's not dash, Chalky. The thing is, I mean to say that Shaka and I are very casual, and I didn't realize you'd be dash, Chalky.
She settled on her heels.
Jack? Do me a favor.
Yes?
Don't mention this to anyone.
Done.
She said immediately. Jackson smiled.
You know, if it was the other way around, I'd be bragging about it.
Chalky's mouth churned.
There's that foul mind playing tricks on itself. I'm surprised I put up with it.
Jackson teetered on a knife's edge. Was he just going to fool around with Chalky? Flirt forever? Or was he going to make a move? Most of the women he encountered had come to him his perfected fake self in the dream hub, anyway. That didn't feel like it counted for much. There hadn't ever been the give and take he had with Chalky. He needed to take a step forward, make a serious statement. It wasn't as if he'd never spoken to girls. He chatted with a few gamer friends online that revealed their gender to him. It wasn't quite the same, but when you were young, sometimes those anonymous outlets became sources of revelation moments in which you felt safe to share things you wouldn't share elsewhere. He'd learned a thing or two from those late-night conversations, especially about smart girls. Like Chalky. Maybe it was that which pushed him forward. But a little more than he cared to admit, Bunta's words had affected him. He had to step up his game. He had to stake a claim, make sure that asswipe didn't muscle in on his woman. Jackson blinked when he realized that's how he honestly felt. He'd only known Chalky for a short time, but somehow, his mind didn't classify her as a free agent. She could be his, but unless he did something about, she might not be. He felt it on instinct.
Jackson?
She asked. Her head was titled at him curiously.
I only meant to tease you. I was, deflecting, a little, maybe. I bet you like the thought, though.
Jackson said. He smiled at her.
Of me walking in on you. Like I did in the forest.
Intentionally? Her lips thinned again.
Perhaps I'd take your eyes as recompense.
Really? Jackson stepped closer to her. He was just tall enough that she had to tilt her head to keep eye contact. He smiled.
If you did that, I wouldn't be able to see how you look in that little dress. I'm not sure I appreciate this line of conversation.
She said the words, but she didn't move away. She didn't break their gaze. He kept smiling.
You like playing games? Jackson said. Word games. I do, too. I'm not good with people, maybe, but one person I can handle.
Sure,
Chalky said, her voice quieter. But I wonder if you can handle me. Jackson raised his arm. He touched her side. She stiffened, but didn't move. He shifted his hand until it was at her back. This was something he had learned in the hub, how to touch. How to approach. How to introduce hands to skin.
I think I can. What makes you say that?
Because you're an intelligent woman, Jackson said.
And if you didn't want this, you just tell me.
Chalky exhaled slowly.
Maybe I'm just letting you get your hopes up.
Maybe, Jackson said.
I find it infinitely more likely that you like it.
Jackson slid his hand up her back, over her shoulder. He rested it at the crook of her neck. His thumb rubbed a small circle there. She licked her lips.
So what else do you think I'd like?
Jackson moved his hand back down her dress. He brushed close to her breast, but didn't touch it. He stopped his hand at her hip and gripped it gently.
You'd like to know how this feels when you aren't wearing that dress.
That, Chalky said,
would require me taking it off. Or me taking it off you. I might not let you. I might do it anyway.
Jackson said that he leaned closer to her, until they were almost touching. Her hand was suddenly on his arm, the same one he had resting on her hip. Her fingers slid over the sleeve of his shirt. Her eyes were so close they were like little pools of chocolate. She looked either side of them. Shaka's tent was near the edge of the encampment. They were on the side facing out into the plains, away from prying eyes. When she looked back at him, Jackson smiled again.
That's...
She paused.
You...
She trailed off again. She didn't know what to do next. Jackson had to take the initiative.
You know the reason I like smart girls?
Why?
Because,
he said,
their minds wander. They think, and fantasize. They like words, all kind of words. Dirty, nasty kinds of words. They like kinky things because they've put more thought into it. They've imagined everything that could happen, and they want it to happen.
Jackson's hand slipped lower, until it was holding her ass. He started rubbing her with his thumb again.
What sorts of things do you want to happen?
Chalky's eyes searched his face.
I don't know. What?
Jackson's lips were a hair away from hers. His whisper was on her skin.
Not even one thing?
Sometimes, I wondered what it would feel like. Inside.
Inside?
Jackson said. Slowly, he moved his other hand. He brought it between her legs. He pressed it into her crotch, feeling her through the dress.
Inside there?
Jackson. Her other hand pressed flat against his chest, as if to push him away.
That's we don't what?
Jackson said. He slid his hand down, then back up. Chalky inhaled sharply.
You just can't do that.
I can't? He said. He leaned around her until his lips were at her ear.
I can't touch the girl that told me she wondered what a cock would feel like inside of her.
Chalky's arms fluttered at her sides, waffling between getting in his way and beckoning him forward.
My modesty dash.
Jackson squeezed her ass tighter, drawing her against him. Her small, pert breasts were pushed against his chest. The only thing between them was his hand and their clothes. He worked three fingers across the space between her legs, pressing her dress up and into her sex.
What else?
Jackson said. He was clutching her body to his, now. He inhaled as he rubbed his nose across her ear, taking in her scent.
What else have you wondered about? I haven't really dash, bullshit.
Jackson whispered. His lips slid across her ear. On impulse, he licked it. She sucked in another sharp breath.
What else?
There was. She swallowed again. Her arms weren't searching for something to do anymore. They were locked tight around him, holding her against him. He kept stroking his fingers across her. She was beginning to move down there, too, rocking slowly on his hand.
I've seen the horses, the stallions mate the mares from behind. And I wondered if it was like that.
It can be, Jackson said. He was kissing her now. He made his way over her ear and nibbled at the line of her jaw.
There's a lot of ways to do it.
There are? A tiny moan came from her lips as he kissed her neck. His teeth nipped at her skin. He wanted her taste in his mouth.
Like what?
Jackson took his hand off her rear and brought it to the back of her head. He grabbed a fistful of her hair. He bent her back, stepping forward with one foot to keep them supported. She gasped out. He pressed the hand running between her legs harder. Her dress heaved where her breasts creased it. Her breaths were coming deeper.
The one you mentioned is a good one, Jackson said.
His words came in the gaps between his kisses. He was at her shoulder now. He flicked his tongue around the edge of her dress's neckline.
I'd hold you down from behind as I mounted you like that. Grab your hips. It doesn't let me get as deep. But I can go hard.
Fast. Jackson dragged his hand down across her dress again. She shuddered against him. Her hips lifted up higher. She was balanced on the balls of her feet.
Don't stop.
She moaned. Jackson wasn't sure if she meant what he was doing, or what he was saying. He assumed both.
Another one is from the front. Like this. I could take you standing, or lying on the ground. I can get deeper with that one.
He started rubbing her faster.
I'd pull one of your legs up against me, use it for leverage. It's simple, but good.
Oh. She swallowed hard. Her breath was coming short and fast.
The brown skin he was kissing had turned even darker with her blush.
It sounds interesting.
He drew his hand back. She looked at him, blinking in confusion. He slipped it under her dress. Her underwear was soaked. He pressed his fingers under her clothes and felt at the lips of her labia. They were hot and slick, almost slippery.
Oh, spirits,
Chalky said. Her arms clenched harder around him. She let her head fall back.
Jack, that's how are you dash?
He ran the tips of his fingers up and down around the edge of her hole.
You're really wet down there.
What does that mean? He slowed for a moment.
You don't know? Have you ever touched yourself down there?
Jackson didn't think Chalky's blush could get darker, but it did. Her dark cream skin was now a vibrant, rusty red.
Aye, a few times. But it wasn't like this. I never got wet. It's to make it easier for me to get inside you,
Jackson said.
Your body wants me.
Jackson was surprised with what happened next. Chalky fixed him with a predatory gaze. A fire had ignited in her eyes.
So do I.
Jackson kissed her full on the lips. Her tongue attacked him so ferociously she actually pushed his head back, pulling against the grip he still had on her hair. She bit his lip so hard it hurt. She broke the kiss and grinned at him.
Maybe there are some things I don't know, but I have kissed before, Jack.
You should
Oh, spirits. Keep doing that.
Jackson had renewed stroking the slickened outer lips. He couldn't see her, but he could feel her down there, a thick outer fold around a hot center. He planted a kiss on her neck then licked up to her chin.
I'm surprised you don't have any hair down there,
he said.
Use a rune to cut it, keeps it clean,
she panted.
I guess magic is pretty useful, huh?
Unf. Chalky's was caught between moaning and biting her lip.
This is, it's so what?
So, I don't know.
I don't have a word for it.
He slid a finger right down the center of her sex, pressing it harder than he had before. She shivered.
Hot,
Jackson said.
The word you're looking for is hot.
Or sexy.
So I guess you like this then?
He dragged the finger back up.
Yeah,
she breathed. He added another finger, stroked across her center. And then another, and stroke, and another, until his whole hand was gliding back and forward across her. She sucked in another breath.
Keep doing that.
He intentionally slowed to a crawl.
Keep doing what?
You know, what?
Asked nicely.
Come on. She wriggled against him, trying to create friction. He just rested his hand on her thigh. She gave a frustrated growl.
Risen demons and dead sons. Say exactly what you want me to do,
Jackson said.
And asked nicely. I want you to put your fingers back on my womanhood.
She hissed.
Please.
Good enough, I guess. He pressed the full weight of his palm against her sex and started rubbing. She groaned and bucked into him. They stood there, in the darkening evening behind Shaka's tent, as Jackson flicked and toyed with her pussy. A prairie wind whipped. It didn't cool him off for long. He fixed his grip on her hair again and dragged her head back, exposing her neck. He lined it with kisses, almost dragging his lips along her throat. He pressed two fingers into the entrance of her lips. She moaned something that sounded like words. It had taken some searching, but judging by the way she almost yipped when he touched it, he'd found her clit. It was smaller than most girls he'd been with, just a tiny flap above her slit, or maybe her wide fold made it seem that way. He rubbed it in circles, stopped, rotated back the other way. Her breath started coming in sharp, rapid gasps.
What is that? This is what it feels like,
Jackson growled. When a man owns your body. Chalky grit her teeth. Her back arched. Her eyes unfocused. All her attention was on her crotch and what he was doing with it. Jackson loved it. He loved the control he had over her. He loved the contrast in the way her body both fought and accepted him. Her head twisting against his hold on her hair. Her hips struggling to grind themselves onto his fingers. The power gave him a confident, heady sensation. He nuzzled back to her ear, folding himself against her. Possessing her.
You've never felt this before, have you?
Chalky shook her head as best she could in her position.
No, what? Spirits, something's almost. I can feel something, like it's keep going.
Jackson lifted his thumb off her clit.
What? I said keep going.
Jackson licked his lips as he watched her quivering body. His next words came to him from a primal node of instinct at the bottom of his brain.
Beg for it. I, just what?
Jackson trailed the edge of his nails up her folds, avoiding her clit.
Beg me to do it.
Chalky's breast rose, fell. She closed her eyes.
Please?
She whimpered.
Please keep going? Jackson!
Came Shaka's voice.
Are you still in the teepee?
Shaka's voice broke through the haze of pleasure like a bucket of ice water. Chalky yelped and tore her head to the side. Jackson half dropped her in surprise, but his hands managed to break her fall before she dropped to the ground. They parted as if they'd been stung by bees. Chalky panted as if she'd run 5 miles. She had to get herself under control. Banish the lust. Remember your modesty. By the 9 hells, remember your sanity. Shaka turned around the side of the tent. Drana was just behind her, peering curiously over her shoulder.
What are you two doing back here?
Nothing.
Just talking.
Shaka and Jackson looked at each other, then back to Shaka. Drana giggled and covered her mouth. Shaka sighed.
And apparently I am to teach these two idiots.
Shakan, what have I done to deserve such a curse?
Shaka turned.
Come, Chalky.
She barked.
You need to prepare for the ceremony.
And Jackson, don't linger too long. We can't have a feast without the guest of honor.
Chalky bolted for Shaka's side. Shaka marched ahead without bothering to press her for further details. For that, Chalky was grateful. Drana sidled up to her.
So?
She whispered. Chalky glanced back. Jackson held up two fingers. And then he slowly raised them to his mouth and licked them. Horrified, Chalky faced forward. He just put those two fingers were, and then he just.
Chalky?
Chalky put her head on a swivel, then leaned into her friend's ear.
We kiss some. That's all?
Drana giggled again.
He's definitely different from Bunta. I guess you like your men slim. Like a drawn bowstring, rather than a bull.
A big stupid bull. Chalky muttered.
A lot of girls in the tribe would marry Bunta.
Drana said.
You judge him harshly. He's a coward.
He's prudent. Chalky screwed up her face.
Since when have you taken a liking to Bunta? Perhaps after you made him available. I could do worse than the son of the elder.
Chalky shook her head.
You'll regret it. He acts the honorable warrior in public, but he's mean when he doesn't get his way. Just like an angry bull.
If you say so. Drana said.
Enough.
Shaka muttered.
My spirit can only take so much pitter and patter before it begins to come apart at the seams.
Come on, Shaka. Drana said.
Which would you take? Bunta or Jackson?
I would rather babysit Pala for life.
There was only one man for me, girl, and he's long since joined with Mother Earth.
That's no answer at all. Drana whined.
Don't push your luck. I am in no mood.
Yes, Shaka. Drana placed her hands behind her back and said no more. Chalky's thoughts refused to settle themselves. The hot pleasure was slowly drying, but its residue sat in her, lingering like warm coals. Her body ached for more. She'd been so close to some kind of something. Some pinnacle. She'd felt it about to strike, rising like a wave, and then it had been cut off. She ground her teeth in the back of her mouth and looked at the ground. Shaka's footsteps seemed to be mocking her. Oh, for all the world that they hadn't been interrupted. The mental image of Jackson tasting her womanhood flashed in her head. She remembered his face when he asked her to beg. Her spine shivered. She glanced at Drana. Her friend was just ahead of her. Chalky dropped back a step and surreptitiously glanced about. The camp was sparsely populated. Everyone was gathered for the feast. She slipped her hand under her dress and across her hole. It was still wet. She pretended as if she were adjusting her dress and drew her hand back out. The liquid glinted on the tips of her fingers. She gingerly touched it to her mouth and tasted. It was a bit bitter.
Salty.
But there was a certain muskiness to it that wasn't unpleasant. Dear spirits, she just licked her own womanhood. What was wrong with her? She felt wound up and stuffy-headed. Maybe even a little annoyed. He toyed with her again, and this time, he hadn't been subtle about it. Something about that made her feel hot again. She liked that he wanted her, wanted to own her. She liked that he found her desirable. It made her feel confident. She had her own power over him, in a way. A tight, evil grin spread across her lips.
Yes.
This game could be played both ways.
Spirits, Drana said.
I haven't seen you look like that since the time Bunta fell off his horse. Chalky quickly put away her expression.
Really? What were you thinking about?
Revenge. Chalky said.
Okay. All right.
Shaka said. She stopped in front of the ceremonial tent. It was positioned next to Yucatan's tent at the other end of the camp. As the elder, he was responsible for maintaining the teepee that stored the band's feast clothing, instruments, and other trinkets and fetishes for any variety of purposes welcoming guests, preparing for war.
Get changed. As you can see, everyone else was waiting on you.
The other girls were already outside the tent in their feast dresses. A high slit rose up on either side of their outfits, and the central section was cut short, allowing for quick and easy movement. The ends of the dresses were sliced into ribbon-like flares that floated and twirled as they moved. Larger hide frills and feathers were sewn around the neckline, waist, and shortened sleeves.
Yes,
Macaulay said.
Everyone is waiting on the princess and her attendant.
Chalky eyed the girl. She was quite possibly the tallest woman in the band, and thin.
And pretty.
And she didn't care much for Chalky.
I did make you wait,
Chalky said.
I'm sorry.
She isn't sorry, Drana said.
She was kissing Jackson.
The girls gasped and burst into whispers. Macaulay's mouth dropped open. Chalky slapped her forehead.
Demons and dead dash, if you finish that oath.
Shaka shouted. Your rump won't soon forget the caning it receives. Both of you get inside and change before the rest of the band starves to death. Chalky and Drana shuffled into the tent. Chalky swatted Drana's arm.
You just couldn't resist.
Drana covered her mouth and snickered.
Did you see the way Malachi was looking at you? I thought her head would fall off and roll away. I don't pay much attention to that one.
For a moment, Chalky hesitated, remembering her wetness. But the tent was steeped in dark. She'd probably be fine. She pulled her dress over her head and reached for the her feast dress. There were only two left. She lifted one, then the other. She frowned.
Drana. Where is my dress? That one with the blue feather is mine.
Drana took one of the dresses Chalky was holding and started working it on.
That other one seems small.
Chalky held the dress up.
What is this?
Mine has green and red beads on the neck.
My family's colors.
I don't know, Drana said.
We're waiting,
Shaka called.
Shaka, I can't find my dress.
Chaki called back.
Make do with what you have, no one will mind.
Chaki glanced at her friend, considering asking her to swap dresses, but Drana was built stoutly. Her dress would look even worse. Chaki swallowed her pride and pulled the dress on that it was tight around the waist and chest, almost making breathing difficult. Her breasts were pushed up, uncomfortably so. The center flap was usually at least below the knees, but hers was at the middle of her thighs. Drana giggled.
Yeah, it's definitely small.
Ugh. It's like wearing a child's dress.
This is practically indecent.
It is indecent.
Coming from you, that means a lot. We are late.
Shaka shouted. They ducked back outside. Chaki prayed that the dim lighting would cover for her. If Shaka noticed the problem, she chose not to mention it.
Good. Now come along. The drums are almost dash.
Even as she spoke the words, they could hear a beat begin in the distance. It was a steady, even rhythm, six drummers pounding together in the night as one. The quick, rhythmic tap floated over the camp and struck them in their chests. Shaka slapped her thigh and marched forward. Maliki was at Chaki's side. Chaki studiously ignored her. Maliki's grin, however, would not be denied.
That dress seems awfully small.
It is small. Chaki muttered.
My dress has been mis.
She narrowed her eyes.
Misplaced.
Maliki chuckled.
Shame.
She whispered.
I suppose Bunta and Jackson both will think you some sort of immodest slut, seeing you prancing around in that thing. You did this?
Me? Maliki fluttered her eyelashes.
Why would I do something like that?
You tell me. Maliki leaned in close.
I always disliked you, Chaki.
She whispered.
But I did not care to act until you casually rejected the finest man in the band. It's clear you think yourself woven from finer clay than the rest of us. It's time you be knocked from your little pedestal.
She leaned back.
I hope you dance well.
She said more loudly. And then she retreated back to her own friends.
Unbelievable.
Chaki muttered.
I heard some.
Drana said to her.
That horse-faced bitch ought to be pincushioned with arrows.
It was times like these that reminded Chaki why Drana was her best friend. When push came to shove, she was loyal.
I'm sure to embarrass myself.
Chaki said.
I should avoid the dance altogether. I can protest that I am still recovering. I was whipped, after all. I thought you said that Shaka's runes healed it.
Not everyone knows that.
Him clever.
Drana nodded.
I'll back your story. Once we're there, make a show of holding your back in pain, and I'll escort you away.
That should do.
Chaki?
Chaki glanced to the side. Little Jula, born no more than 12 winters past, was suddenly at her other flank. She was a bright little girl, and very polite. Chaki had been teaching her to sew, of late, and she smiled warmly at seeing her.
Jula? What is it? This is the first dance I will be in public, because Shaka said I should. But there's nothing to be worried about.
Chaki said.
I've seen you practicing.
You're ready.
That's what Shaka said too? And you still don't believe it? It's different in front of people.
Chaki nodded. She could sympathize.
Have faith in yourself. Forget the people and feel the dance. Do you mind if I follow you?
Jula asked. Chaki stiffened. Following in a public dance was simple. You stood closer to the center of the group and watched a more experienced girl. It was a way to confirm your own moves without being obvious about it, but it was also seen as a crutch and, generally, quite frowned upon by the women of the tribe. Just Jula asking for it was a sign of deep trust. Chaki clenched her fists.
I'm sorry, Jula said quickly. I shouldn't have said.
Forget I said anything. It's fine.
Chaki said.
Stay close.
Jula's eyes lit up like little torches.
Really?
Chaki gestured with her palm.
Sure.
Oh. Sorry. Jula lowered her voice.
Really?
Yes.
Really. Just this once, and I mean it. Don't make a show of it.
Jula gave a vicious nod.
I won't. She raised her chest and pumped her fists with a renewed gusto.
Chaki couldn't help but smile.
Drana leaned her head close. What happened to your whipped back? It experienced a miraculous recovery.
Chaki said. Drana hacked a laugh.
Don't regret it. And then they were at the ring of the feast. Three fires were arranged in a triangle. They had been built high, then allowed to burn low. The space between and around them was matted down to dirt. The clearing protected the plains from the heat. The low, constant light allowed one to see clearly, without the wincing brightness of a full flame. The coals cast everything in a deep, orange-red shadow. It was as if the blood of the earth had been drawn up and painted across the world. At the base of the triangle, a heavy, 3-foot drum was surrounded by a ring of 10 tightly packed drummers. They each held one drumstick. They tapped in rhythm at the edge of the drum, creating a quick, high thwack 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 that struck the ears hard. Chaki and the rest of the girls gathered with Shaka near the drummers. The rest of the band was scattered in a larger ring that surrounded the fires. Some milled about quietly in the deeper shadow, seeking friends or family. Others were settling into quiet conversations. Further outside the ring, there was a large series of cooking fires, where soup and wasna were being prepared. Shaka arranged them into their lines. Chaki held Jula's hand, ensuring that they would be placed together. She could feel the girl's nervous grip play in her fingers. She gave Jula a comforting squeeze. Chaki looked out into the crowd. She squinted. This close to the fires, it was difficult to see into the darkness. Where was Jackson? She spotted Yucatan's headdress. Perhaps he was near the elder?
She saw Bunta crane his neck to try and catch her eye and quickly turned her gaze away. The lead drummer called out in guttural tones.
Huh?
Huh?
H-O-U-U-H.
The drumming halted. The men leaned in over their fat instrument, staring at it like hunters sizing up a bison. The shadow of the fires lined their features. The noise in the crowd settled to silence. Those still looking for spots to sit quickly found them. Shaka stepped forward with Landry and several of the other older women. They ringed the drummers from below in a half circle, between them and the girls, facing the majority of the tribe. Shaka tapped her thigh once. She called out over the empty space in a long, melodic cry. It was centered at the back of her mouth. The sound was harsh, almost a shriek. After her long note, the other women joined her, forming a chorus of female voices. The pale, cold notes wandered into the night above the fire. They stopped briefly, and when they started again, then drummers sang with them. Their husky chant formed the base of the higher-pitched shouts of the women. The lead drummer smacked the center of his instrument. A deep boom marked the start of their drumming. They struck the drum between the outside and the inside. It was a deeper note than before, but not as deep as the very center. Chaki could feel it in her own throat, even though her mouth was closed. It was as if the spirits were speaking through the music. After a few minutes, the women and men finished singing. The drum kept drumming, steady, even, the same pounding note. The line of older women parted, opening toward the center of the fires, past the drummers. The girls picked up their feet. They raised their knees up high, one, then the other, shuffling forward in high kick steps timed to the rhythm of the drum. They moved around the heavy instrument in two lines and spread out in the center of the clearing. A quick glance out of the corner of her eye confirmed that Jula had stayed behind her. The drumming stopped. The girls planted their feet on the ground and crossed their arms. They stood as statues in the silence. The wind of the plains made the fires glow. The blood-soaked light penetrated everything. Facing forward, the girls were near the position of honor, close to the elder. Chaki tried to ignore Bunta's eyes. His stare felt like oil on her skin. It was a wrong sort of feeling, here, at the precipice of the dance. The 10 drummers slammed into the very center of the drum as one. The boom rolled over them. The dancers all planted their right foot forward and turned their heads left. Chaki's eyes widened as her gaze met Jackson's. He was seated with Pala, close enough to Yucatan to still make it an honor. Pala rapidly waved a hand at her. Jackson was not as obvious with his acknowledgement, but there was a gleam in his eye from the fire, or something else, Chaki didn't know. His face held his small, quiet smile. The ugly feeling of oil was burned away. She felt a drumbeat in her heart, and the soil between her bare toes. She could feel the spirits in the air. She felt like she could fly. The drum struck again. Chaki planted her opposite foot and turned right. She paused there, and synchronized with the others. Malachi didn't know it, but Jackson had very little sense of modesty. She felt no shame from his attention, only happiness. She narrowed her eyes against the darkness. Jackson. Jackson had toyed with her body, and turned her heart up and about. But now her head was steadied by the drums. Now she would have a little fun of her own, shrunken dress or not. The drum began to pound in earnest. Three medium hits, and then one large strike, a slow tempo. Chaki turned her hands up above her head and swept them down. They stepped forward, and back together, as a group. She called a note into the air, and jumped.
Ha!
They danced to the drum. It was a steady, halting sort of display. One motion, stop. A second motion, stop. Twist, bend, stop. Chaki knew the steps like she knew her skin. She altered them, slightly, just enough to give it a personal flair without throwing off the group. Whenever she could, she caught Jackson's gaze. Whenever she had a chance, she twisted toward him, flaunting herself in his direction. Whenever she stopped, she made sure her hips were in his view. Another motion. She lifted her leg high, grasping it under the thigh and pulling. She stretched until her legs formed a vertical line. The group balanced there for a moment, holding the position. On the next heavy strike of the drum, they came down. She stared at her target once more. His smile was gone. His mouth had fallen open. She had to work hard to suppress her grin. The drum changed. Two medium beats, then one heavy strike. A medium tempo. They danced faster. She had less opportunity to take him in. The drummers sang out three notes. The girls shouted back. The left and right halves of the dancers switched places. Chaki barely skipped over Malachi's outstretched foot. She steadied herself. It would seem poor form, but it was better than tripping. Damn that cow. Private grievances were one thing, but to try that right out in front of everyone, she glanced at Jackson, wondering if his mind had wandered. His head had followed her movement to the other side of the fires. He was still watching her intently. She found that she didn't much care about her little misstep. The drums increased in pace. One small strike, then one heavy blow. Whack boom, whack boom, whack boom. It was a constant, fierce beat that would last a minute. Now it was a dance. Chaki stood up on her toes, leapt, spread her legs, landed on her toes again. Half the group followed her direction. The other half went the other way. They leapt again, exchanging places once more, and then, a skipping step. Jump on one foot, leap with the other. Hands arced in the air, then turned down at their sides. Turn about, take one step back, then leap forward once more. She lost herself in the drum. She could feel the heat of a fire as she passed close. Her heart pounded in her chest, and her breath came quickly. Sweat beaded on her forehead. She felt as though the ground had dropped away and she was dancing in the sky. Three quick booms. Chaki stood on one leg, went up on her toes. She brought her other knee up to her chest and clasped her hands above her head.
she cried into the night, a long shout in time with the drummers. Ha! And then it was done. She settled back to the ground. Her burning calves felt relief. She took in air in great gulps. Yucatan stood. He walked forward until the fire lit his face clearly. He raised his hands. Surely the Mother Earth approves of her children. Let the feast begin. The crowd shouted its approval. Hundreds of feet stood up to head toward where the food was being served, though most would return to eat near the fires. It was a sacred space for the rest of the night, pleasing to spirits. The drummers would keep playing and singing, one half taking food and resting while the others entertained. Chaki found herself with a frown. Yucatan's words had been neutral. She had partaken in feasts for guests, a few times, and Yucatan had always named them specifically in order to honor them. But he did not name Jackson. Thank you, Chaki, Jula said. The girl clasped her hands together and bowed. You were amazing. Thank you, Jula. You were a flower in the plains tonight. You didn't need me. Jula glowed under the compliment. But then, a sharp anger took her features. I was watching, so I saw what happened. Malachi tried to trip you. She did. You should tell Shaka. That was wrong. Chaki shook her head. I will deal with Malachi. Keep this to yourself. Jula's face said that she disagreed, but she was smart enough to know that she was in no position to argue, having just asked Chaki for a favor. She nodded. If you say so. As Chaki straightened, she was reminded of the tightness of her dress. The mood of the dance was scoured from her by the disapproving glances of the older women. She turned and made off through the crowd. She needed to get out of there before the embarrassment drilled a hole through her chest. Chaki, Jula said. Where are you going? Change of clothes. Jackson was transfixed. They were like feathers floating in the air. They were pushed by the wind, driven by the drum. Their coordination was almost perfect. A few of the younger ones seemed to trail by a half step, but he hardly noticed it. Chaki was like a goddess. Her outfit was pressed to her curves. Her legs moved as if she was a part of the dance. Her eyes seemed to find his every time they slowed for a moment. He drank her in. Jackson watched her lift her leg up, up. Her dress was far too small for that. Wow. That was flexible. He felt an uncomfortable pressure in his leggings and realized he was getting hard. He was aroused just watching her. Her smile landed on him again as her hips undulated in the light. It was almost as if she was messing with him, but she was more than just a sexual object. If the drums were a fire, she was the smoke. Her hair and the long frills of her dress whipped around as she spun, sending shadows flickering across the ground. It was as if she'd been possessed by one of their spirits. How could he touch her? How did you hold on to smoke? How did you grasp a spirit? He had to remind himself of what happened earlier. He replayed the memory of that moment behind Shaka's tent in his head, trying to bolster his faltering sense of certainty. Had that really happened? Had it just been part of his nap, part of his dream, and then it was over? Before Jackson realized it, Yucatan was speaking, and then the crowd was up, moving toward the food. He jumped to his feet and pushed against the wave of people. Jackson, Pala said. The food's that way. I'm going to find Chaki. She'll be back in a bit. Pala called. Jackson! Hey! Fine. Jackson walked around the fires. A few of the dancers were still milling about, but Chaki wasn't there. He put a hand up against the side of his face, shielding from the glare of one of the fire pits. Jackson Vidalt? He turned. There was a tall, slender girl, there quite pretty. She had a broad smile. I've heard the color of your skin was very different. You're easy to recognize. I guess. Hi. I'm sorry. You don't even know me. She gave a low chuckle. My name is Malachi. It's a pleasure to meet the man that saved Shaka. Sure. Jackson said. Actually, I was Dash. Malachi moved up to him and placed a hand on his arm. Did you see me in the dance? I hope you enjoyed it. Yeah. Jackson said. It was great. I'm glad you thought so. Would you like to eat together? I feel very curious about you. I'd like to know you better. I'm actually kinda doing something. Malachi chuckled again. Hmm? What's more important than the feast, I wonder? Tell me. Jackson felt something trip inside him. He narrowed his eyes. The touching of his arm, the forwardness. Laughing when he hadn't said anything funny. The fake smile plastered on her face. She was like one of those posers back in the hub, the followers that sent him sycophantic messages. Normally he'd tell her to buzz the fuck off, but he decided to be diplomatic. She might be someone important. Or something. He took a half step out of her embrace. I appreciate the offer, Malachi, but I was looking for Chaki. Did you see where she went after the dancing? Malachi's smile became strained. Well, no, I didn't. Aren't you hungry, though? I know I am. Chaki will find us later. The scent of the food wafted over them as people started returning with bowls and horns of soup. Jackson's stomach gurgled. The dancing had definitely distracted him, but sitting there with Pala before the show, he realized he was starving to death. He hadn't eaten for the better part of a day. Jackson rubbed his nose as if to mash the smell out of it. Yeah, but I wanted to talk to her first. I'm very good acquaintances with Chaki, Malachi said. We can meet up after we eat. Jackson tried to think of some excuse, but she'd cut off the obvious escape route. Unless he wanted to outright brush her off, he wasn't getting away. Fuck it. He'd just have to live with offending her. He didn't care all that much in the first place anyway. Jackson Vidalt! Jackson held back his sigh as a little girl walked up to them.
He recognized her from the dance she was positioned behind Chaki.
Yeah?
Jula, Maliki said. Jackson and I are speaking. Run along. Jula ignored Maliki. I saw Chaki. She was going to change clothes. She probably left her dress in the ceremony tent.
Which way is that?
Jackson asked. The girl pointed. It's next to Yucatan's teepee. Look for the white and red feathers strung around the top. Jackson nodded.
Yeah, right.
Thanks.
What's your name? Jula?
She smiled and folded her hands behind her back.
Yep.
Thanks for the tip.
Jackson, what about the feast?
Maliki said. Jackson shrugged.
It's not going anywhere. I'll eat later.
See you then.
That's a promise.
Jackson walked off into the camp. He'd have to thank that Jula girl for real later. She was a candidate for sainthood as far as he was concerned. Jackson had to wander for a bit, but eventually, he found Yucatan's tent. It was hard to see the color in the dark, but the prominent feathers were hard to miss. Behind it, at the edge of the encampment, was the lonely ceremonial teepee. He stepped up to the entrance flap.
Chaki?
He called.
Are you there?
Her voice came back a moment later.
Jack?
Yeah.
Jackson said.
Can I come in?
Hold a moment. Jackson tensed. Part of his brain told him to stay where he was. The other half remembered her shapely, muscular body dancing in the night. That half rose up and viciously shredded his better judgment. He pushed the flap aside. He heard her gasp. There was no fire in this teepee. It was darker than it was outside. When he straightened, she was turned away from him, her usual outfit held to her chest. Otherwise, she was naked. He couldn't see her well at all in the darkness, but the hazy outline of her body was enough to make him want her.
Jackson,
she hissed.
This is totally improper. Didn't we have this discussion? That was then, this is now.
It sure is.
Jackson,
order me out. Jackson stated. Tell me to leave the teepee, and I will. Chaki said nothing. He closed the distance. He placed his hands on her shoulders. She swallowed audibly. He smoothed his hands over her bare shoulders.
If you...
He trailed off. He'd been forceful with their relationship. He'd pushed it far out of his comfort zone. It was invigorating. Thrilling. But maybe that's exactly why he felt so uncomfortable. The lust in his head told him to pin her down and have his way with her. It told him to stake his claim in the most physical manner possible. It told him to throw the stupid nice guy bullshit into a gutter and get on with it before he lost his chance. Fuck you, Jackson told that part of his brain. Running on sexual instinct was like burning gasoline. He could set a hell of a fire, but he might blow himself up. It was like fighting back a tidal wave. But he knew how to control himself, didn't he? He let the wave wash over him. It was like turning into a ghost, letting the energy swirl down, run around him, through him. He steadied his breathing, and when he opened his eyes again, he'd frozen the ocean solid.
If you don't want this, Chaki, please say so. I would never force myself on you, ever.
Chaki said nothing. Jackson took another breath.
I, about our debt, Chaki, from me saving you. You don't owe me anything. Consider it all paid in full. I did what I did because I thought it was right. You don't have to push yourself into anything. I dash spirits,
Chaki said. Jackson stopped.
Here he is, in my tent, beholding my nakedness, after I gave him that dance, and still I cannot seduce him?
She turned to face him. Her eyes shone in the dark.
You must have a heart made out of stone. I suppose I am to be impressed.
The layered shell of ice he'd carefully constructed over his heart cracked. The ocean of calm started to boil. Jackson gripped her shoulders and pulled her into his chest. Their lips found one another in an instant. He kissed her hard, and she kissed him back even harder. She dropped her dress. It pooled at their feet. Her body was against his. He felt the softness of her breasts, the smooth muscle of her legs. She lifted a foot off the ground and wrapped it around his back. Her tongue sucked his into her mouth and played with it. He grabbed at her, everywhere, feeling at her thighs, her ass, her back, as if trying to soak the sensation of her through his skin. Jackson broke off the kiss. His heart was hammering.
Holy shit.
Her breath fell across his neck.
Did you like my dance? It was like...
Jackson snorted.
It was great.
Well,
it was more than great.
But you know.
I dunno.
Chalky's made a smile like warm cookies on Christmas evening. Jackson didn't know he could feel the way that smile made him feel.
Jack,
she said.
Just take your time.
Jackson took his time.
It was like watching starlight that had come down to the earth,
he said. Chaki pressed her mouth to his neck. She kissed him there, wandering across his skin with her lips.
That's nice, Jack,
she said.
It makes me feel good. But I want to feel hot.
Jackson's brain floated in ecstasy for a moment. She sure learned fast.
Your dance.
Jackson grabbed her hair and tugged her mouth off him.
It made me want to do this,
he growled. He shoved his mouth against her again, almost bruising his lip. She bit back with an equal, ravenous force. He slapped a hand to her ass. A pitched mule escaped her throat. He gripped her flesh, then ran his finger up her side and settled on her breast. She moaned in earnest as he groped at her skin, pulling, squeezing. He pinched the nipple.
H.A.A.
She gasped again.
Jack!
He made a questioning grunt.
Take me,
she said.
Mount me.
From behind.
I want to be taken like that.
Jackson responded by leaning her back and latched his mouth to the breast he'd been groping.
He used his grip on her hair to lower her to the floor and took her nipple into his mouth.
Jackson.
She was on her back, now, lying on the floor of the teepee. She ran a hand through his hair.
Babies suckle there, not men.
He broke off for an instant.
What? I can't have it too?
Chalky grinned.
I guess that makes you a big baby.
Jackson lowered himself over her.
One that's about to fuck you until you scream.
Chalky's blush deepened, but she licked her lips.
Actions speak louder than words.
But not until I finish what I started. Jackson added. He slid back and used his hands to part her thighs.
Down here.
He pressed two fingers into her hold. Chalky's hips rose off the ground almost immediately.
Oh, this again?
She breathed as more of his fingers stroked her lips.
I can live with that for now.
I have other ideas. Jackson said.
I'm feeling pretty damn hungry.
He lowered his head down and licked up the wide lip of her sex around the edge of her slit. Chalky shuddered.
Ooh, is that your tongue?
Jackson said that he'd done this before, out of a certain sense of obligation. This time, he wanted it. He wanted to watch her squirm for him. He fell back down and flicked his tongue up the sides of her pussy. One finger was pressed just inside her entrance. He crooked it slightly and rubbed the wall of her tunnel. The flesh he tasted in the hub was perfected, but off, slightly, like the plastic taste of old bottled water. It was fake. Chalky was different. She was warm, musky, scented. Earthy. It wasn't as pure, but it had everything pure water lacked.
Oh my spirits, Jack.
Her fingers worked through his hair and gripped the back of his head. Powerful thighs constricted around his torso. Her feet worked to find purchase at his back, draw his body in closer.
Please don't stop this time. Just keep going.
Jackson slid his tongue up, down, sideways, tracing shapes across her wetness. He lapped at her like a man thirsting for a drink. Maybe it was just that he hadn't eaten, but she really tasted amazing. He found her clit again. Her legs were tightening so much it was hard to get at it. He used his other hand to pull the sheath open and set his mouth over it, letting warmth fall across it. He kept playing at her entrance using his other index finger, rubbing it back and forward. Her stomach rose and fell in waves. Her hips bucked at him. It was a challenge to keep his face steady. He pressed in harder to maintain the same contact, keeping his mouth in an O shape around her clit. He worked his lone finger around in her hole, prolonging the moment.
Oh, more Chalky, curse me!
Her hands had been everywhere, on her body, her breasts. Now that he had halted before that final moment, he felt them quickly return to his head.
More, Jack, please!
And then he set his tongue down on the clit. He licked across the top, then flicked it with the tip of his tongue. Her hips twitched, shocked by the pleasure. Her crotch came up and bumped his nose hard enough to hurt that he was barely in control of it anymore. He rode her with head, trying to follow her hips. He pressed his mouth around her clit once again, and this time, applied a slight suction. He bat at her engorged nub with his tongue. That was enough to send her over. Her body arced like a live wire. Every muscle clenched. Her thighs crushed against his cheeks. Her hips rose up forcefully enough to drag him a few inches across the ground. Her hands gripped his hair so hard it hurt. Her abdomen flexed, and her moan cut off. She came silently, her throat closing up along with the rest of her body. She remained like that so long Jackson thought he might have fried a circuit somewhere. She hissed out her breath, and she shuddered back into half-relaxation. Her small, round breasts rolled as she heaved her breath back.
Jack!
Her words were muttered.
That, I didn't know it could be like that.
Spirits.
I feel possessed by it.
Jack couldn't keep the grin on his face. He watched her as she recovered, deciding not to try and push her further for a few moments.
Woman,
he said.
I haven't even taken my clothes off.
A stupid sort of smile twisted Chalky's lips.
I can't imagine better than that.
You won't have to imagine. She bared her teeth at him in an expression of pure, lust-soaked animalism.
I want everything. All of it.
She sat up, suddenly, and grabbed at his shirt.
Why are you still wearing this?
Jackson sat up to make the task easier. His leggings were tented by his cock. He reached for his belt.
Chalky! Chalky!
It was Chaka's voice. Jackson made a frustrated sigh. Again with this woman, Chalky hissed louder than he did.
Shit, shit in a stream, dead sons and shit, shit on your feet, shit!
Her head turned.
Jackson, get over there, under the clothes. Just tell her you're not decent.
He whispered.
That only works on men. And women that aren't my mentor. Chalky, are you there?
Jackson dove for the far corner of the teepee. He wrapped himself in all the hides he could find. A dress from Chalky flew at his face. He pulled it over his head.
I'm here,
Chalky called.
I was changing.
Jackson couldn't see anything, but he heard the tent flap open. Feet on the tent floor.
What's taking so long? You said you wanted to be part of Jackson's ceremony. I was just going to explain a few details before we...
Her voice stopped.
Hmm? What?
Chalky asked.
I'll have Yucatan move the teepee,
Chaka said.
Something smells off. In any case, girl, I can't eat without my student.
Sorry, Chalky said.
The dancing, I must have been more tired than I thought, even with your healing. It hit me hard.
Oh. Chaka's voice was concerned.
I apologize. You should have mentioned it. I didn't want to leave Jula alone. I suspected she was following you,
Chaka said.
I will pretend I did not hear that for her sake.
Thank you, Chaka.
You were excellent in the dance. The women were showering praise on Landry, though some of my own friends thought you looked a little uncomfortable in that dress of yours.
Chucky snorted.
It wasn't my first choice. Perhaps it should have been. I think you'll have 10 new suitors by tomorrow morning. The only suitor I want isn't even part of the tribe.
Ho! Shaka said.
Such boldness. And here I thought you were playing it down.
Chucky cleared her throat.
Recent events have changed my mind. You are perfectly entitled to change it.
Shaka said.
He won't remain in Tribeless for long. Speaking of which, where did he get off to? This is the time for him to be introduced to the others.
We spoke briefly, after the dance.
He said he wanted to get away from the crowd. He went to the creek.
Shaka sighed.
I shall have to drag him back.
Meet us there.
If I don't get food in my stomach soon, I'll die a few years earlier than I intend.
There were footsteps. The tent flap shifted. Jackson stayed still, just in case that a hide was lifted off his face. Chucky was looking down at him.
You have to run to the creek. Go out the drainage ditch.
Jackson didn't pause for pleasantries. He went to the back of the teepee, where the ditch was dug in case of rain. He crawled out and under the hide wall on his knees and elbows, then sprinted headlong around the edge of the camp. It was a longer route, but he couldn't risk being seen by Shaka. Running with an erection was not easy. By the time he reached the creek, he was wheezing. His chest was burning. He fell to a knee and sucked in air. The trickle of water just ahead glinted in the lights from the camp. He ran his tongue over his lips. He could still taste her there. It was drying on his mouth and chin, extract of Chucky. He bent down over the creek and splashed his face a few times to clear his head. He'd softened enough that it wasn't as uncomfortable. He fixed his pants around his belt. Footsteps made him look up. Shaka was walking toward him.
The delinquent warrior.
Come, Jackson. You cannot avoid a proper introduction.
You caught me.
Jackson said.
He stood.
Lead on, spirit guide.
I feel as though I am herding wild animals, running to and fro across the camp.
Shaka said.
You might as well be, at your age.
I'm not that wild.
I wonder.
As they walked back through the teepees, Jackson had a sudden thought. He focused on his health bar. Below it was the word essence, and the number 25. Same as before.
Shaka.
He said.
I remember you and Chucky mentioned essence.
What is it, exactly?
There are two parts to all life.
Shaka said.
First is the life force. The second is essence. The life force is the energy of the body. It is in the blood and the muscles. Essence is the energy of mind and spirit. It lies in the soul, and conducts magical strength. Together, they form a united whole.
Do you use essence to cast spells? Jackson asked.
Indeed.
She said.
Runes demanded as penance.
How do you gather more, after you use it up?
Rest, recovery, meditation.
Shaka said.
Though one can only hold so much essence at once. This limit is determined by the strength of one's spirit.
And then, only those born with the talent can sense essence, gather it into themselves, and place it into runes. Jackson wondered about that. He'd rested for a short time, but his essence hadn't changed.
Do you gather essence when you kill things?
Shaka stopped and looked at him.
No.
Do you?
Jackson nodded.
I collected some when I killed the Raddock, but I didn't get any from resting.
Is that bad?
Shaka frowned deeply.
I do not like what that implies.
We shall explore this further.
But later.
For now we feast. Chucky managed to make it to the feast in one piece. She wandered past the gathered tribesmen, arms folded. She only half-heartedly acknowledged the waves and hellos and compliments to her dancing. Her mind waxed over her experience in the tent. It had been exquisite.
Unique.
She didn't know her body could experience that sort of pleasure. For a moment, at the pinnacle she had so sought, her mind was stretched in blissful focus, completely tuned to the singular moment. How quickly they had become close. But then, he had wanted it. He had sought her out. And she let it happen, because she wanted it. A small worry broke through her feelings. Was she just young and stupid? Was she caught up in the moment? It was proper to make a man work for attention and promise his loyalty, not to give everything away at the first sign of attraction. But she felt so safe with him. She felt that if he was there, nothing would hurt her. Perhaps it was from how he saved them. Perhaps it was because he reminded her of father. Perhaps it was his quiet calm, his small smiles, his banter. Maybe it was all of them at once. Spirits, she felt intoxicated by him. Hidden under that calm was a hungry and adept lover. His passions burned brightly. He was only practiced at keeping them buried. He wanted to coax his true self out of him. She wanted to see him at his peak. She shook her head, trying to banish the thoughts. It didn't help much. Regardless of their attraction, things weren't supposed to move this quickly.
Chucky.
Her mind worked against him, but her body remembered other things. The words he'd said still echoed in her skull. He hadn't even taken off his clothes. He hadn't even used his phallus. She bit her lip.
What would that be like?
Chucky? She looked up. She was near the vats of hot soup. Bunta's flat face was staring at her. He was holding out a bowl. She took it from his hands automatically.
Thank you. You seem distracted. Your dance was amazing, as always, he said.
She nodded vaguely, entering the line for soup. Hopefully Jackson would be back soon.
Thanks. I am sorry for earlier.
What?
I was forceful, back then, Bunta said. I was caught up in my passions. I shouldn't have raised my voice. I am better than that. I wish to make amends.
Chalky sighed. Forget it, Bunta. I have passed the point of caring. At least allow me to make a proper apology. Do as you wish, Chalky said.
She held out her empty bullpoint. One of the servers, Jelka, ladled her a good helping. He nodded to her.
Good work, Chalky. The spirits are sure to be pleased this night.
Thank you, Jelka.
Certainly.
He spooned another bowl and offered it out.
Thanks,
Bunta muttered. Chalky made her way back toward the fires. She sipped lightly at the steaming soup. It was good, but it needed to cool.
Bunta followed her.
She tried not to sigh. She spotted her mother and Hanta standing together, along with Pala, and made her way toward them.
Hanta! Chalky called. How are you?
Hanta was a short man, but he had a powerful stature. Pound for pound, he likely outdid even Bunta. He was one of the drummers during the dance, but his true calling was hunting. When Chalky's father was alive, they had been good friends. They practiced both the drum and the bow together quite often. He smiled at her approach.
I am very well, Chalky.
He looked at Bunta and nodded, but said nothing. Bunta bowed and nodded back in respect.
You danced exceedingly well. I haven't seen the like in years. It felt like its own dance, set apart from the others.
You flatter me.
Landry, you have raised an excellent daughter,
Hanta said. You should be proud.
Oh, I am,
Landry said.
But too much praise swells a girl's head. Hers is big enough as it is, I think.
Chalky pouted as Pala, Landry, and Hanta laughed. Even Bunta cracked a smile.
I can still fit into our teepee, at least,
Chalky said.
But for how long?
Hanta asked.
Long enough to get to sleep, I hope. It was a little draining.
Hanta smiled.
Chalky, do you well know my son, Vunta? He is a skilled hunter, like his father,
Chalky said. Though I know him only at a distance.
I should like to introduce you to him more directly, then. He mentioned that he wanted to compliment your dancing. I would be happy to accept his compliments,
Chalky said. It was a noncommittal response. Should she have been interested in Vunta, she would have said she'd be happy to meet him, specifically. But her words were in no terms a rejection.
Good.
Hanta smiled. He picked up on her phrasing. His next words leaned away from hinting at suitorship.
It will be good for him to have such a friend as you. I hope it is so,
Chalky said politely.
And perhaps your heads will strike together and shrink from the impact.
Pala burst into laughter. Chalky couldn't help her own chuckle.
If you say so. Have him run at me full speed, then. I'll lower my horns into his. We can use Shaka's skulls. Your blasphemy will drive away the good spirits,
Shaka called. She marched up to them with Jackson just behind her. This time, she had a pouch of wasna in hand, and she was munching on the dried, fatty meat even as they closed in. Jackson had his own pouch. His cheeks were puffed out with the amount of food he'd stuffed into his mouth. Chalky smiled at the sight of it.
Only a jest, Chalky said. Apparently Vunta and I could fill a teepee with our heads, if you believe what Hanta says. It should make a fine legend, I think.
Hanta always exaggerates, Bunta said.
But he tells a good story.
Ho, Flatface speaks, Hanta said.
I embellish only half as much as you do when the men talk together, young bull.
Chalky recognized the smile on Bunta's face as a forced one. He did not take well to ribbing, even if it was good-natured.
My flat face camouflages me from the bison. And it keeps your small head well protected,
came a new voice. Another short man, a young man, joined their rapidly growing circle.
Ho there, Father Landry.
Hi, Vunta,
Pala said.
Hello, Pala.
And Chalky.
My greetings.
Chalky smiled at Vunta.
You have my own.
Quick, run!
Hanta shouted.
Their heads are getting closer.
The group burst out laughing again. Jackson had to cover his mouth to keep wasna from leaking out. Chalky felt a little blush on her cheeks. She sidled across the way and moved between Shaka and Jackson.
You aren't laughing at me, Jackson, are you?
Jackson's green eyes were bright. He gulped down his mouthful of wasna.
Nope, not me. Too busy eating. If he likes wasna, he must be a long-lost member of the tribe,
Hanta said.
Well met, Jackson Vidalt. I am Hanta, and this my son, Vunta. We owe you much.
The two men of small stature, but great skill, bowed their heads and clasped their hands. Jackson mimicked the gesture. A bit rough, but it would do for an outsider.
Well met,
he said.
Hanta was a great friend of my father's,
Chalky said,
and has always looked after us since he passed back to the earth.
You speak too well of me, Hanta said.
Even if,
Chalky added,
he was never quite as good at hunting.
Hardly.
Your father and I never settled our scores, and then he went and died before the final round. He should have known better.
Chalky grinned brightly.
Clearly he did so just to frustrate you. I wouldn't be surprised.
So,
Jackson Vidalt, I am told you are skilled with the spear.
Jackson shook his head.
I'm all right, I guess. You slayed a whole nest of Radix single-handedly. There was a lot of luck involved,
Jackson said.
And much bravery, Vunta said. Even if it was to save them, I still should have feared for my life. And you stopped to rescue strangers, besides.
You aren't as much as I thought then, Bunta said to Vunta.
I would not fear little Radic if it meant saving Shaka and Chalky.
Chalky felt that Bunta's boasting comment would be better placed amongst the men, rather than in public, but Vunta cleared his throat and did not rise to answer it.
Anyway, Jackson Vidalt, if you would like to exchange spears, I'd jump at the chance.
Just Jackson is fine,
Jackson said. Do you mean sparring or something? A brief bout, if I could impose it upon you.
Vuntha confirmed.
I'm sure I'd learn much.
That sounds fun, Jackson said.
But I'll be doing more learning than you think.
Vuntha clasped his hands.
There was a bright grin on his features.
You honor me.
Chalky didn't think Jackson realized it, but he just paid Vuntha a great compliment.
Jackson's deeds were clear. His skill could not be denied.
In saying that he would learn well from Vuntha, he was placing Vuntha's abilities on a level with his own.
Any friend of Chalky is a friend of mine, Jackson said.
He looked at her for approval.
Chalky smiled and put her hand on his arm.
Is that so?
Vuntha asked.
Perhaps I will join your practice.
Hanta frowned.
Inviting yourself to another's exchange? We're all friends, aren't we?
Vuntha said.
I'm sure Vuntha doesn't have any objections.
Vuntha licked his lips. The thoughts on his face were very plain. He was not as established as his father, so going against the elder's son in public could spell problems for him. He said nothing.
I'd prefer if it was just me and Vuntha, Jackson said.
And why's that?
Because you and I aren't friends.
The gathered circle paused. Hanta's gaze shifted between Vuntha and Jackson.
Vuntha's eyes bulged.
Shaka, though, was oddly detached, focused on her wasana. She stood slightly apart with Landry, keeping one arm on Pala's back. It was a sign that she was staying out of it.
Oh? Vuntha asked.
Here I thought you were a friend to all Chalky knows.
All of Chalky's friends, Jackson corrected.
I don't think that includes you.
I'm sure,
Vuntha said.
It does.
Want to bet?
What's the wager?
Chalky was about to tell both of them to keep their discussion to themselves when a new voice called over them.
Jackson Vidalt!
Maliki and her mother came into their ring.
Vuntha stepped aside to let them into the space.
Chalky sipped from her bowl of soup, not acknowledging their arrival. Hanta and Maliki's mother moved off with Landry and Shaka, leaving the younger generation alone.
Jackson,
she said.
I thought I wouldn't find you out here.
Jackson's face was a blank as his voice.
Hey, Maliki.
Maliki said.
Sorry. I've met a lot of new people very quickly. Well, I suppose I will let you off for having complimented my dancing.
Oh? Chalky looked up from her soup.
What did he say?
He said my dancing was great, Maliki said.
Though I have not yet extracted from him our promise to eat together.
Chalky fixed Jackson with a stare.
Is that so? I've got wasana, you've got soup, he said to Maliki.
I think we're good.
Hardly,
Maliki said.
I suppose it is true you are not good with your words. But in your case, it adds to your mystique.
Mystique? Vuntha asked.
What a description.
I was supplying him with words, Maliki said,
to make up for his lack of them. Women are supposed to compliment their men.
It's a good thing I was able to find Chalky then, Jackson said.
Chalky felt the sudden and exhilarating rush of personal validation.
Yes.
Maliki's tone was flat.
I see you located her.
Vuntha was looking out of place with himself.
He glanced around.
Maybe I'll get another bowl of soup.
You could at least offer some to a lady?
Maliki said.
Bunta, Vuntha, and Maliki went back and forward for a few moments on the topic of men always being required to fetch women things.
In a moment, Drana and another dancer, Kanu, made their way up to them.
Chalky wasn't as familiar with the wispy Kanu, but she seemed an alright sort.
Drana greeted Vuntha with enthusiasm, and they began speaking together.
Chalky whispered in Jackson's ear. What's this promise you made her?
She made it herself.
He muttered.
All I said was that I'd see her later. It was to get her off my back so I could find you.
Ah. That is like her.
Yeah, I gathered that.
What are you two whispering about?
Maliki asked.
Oh, just the words Jackson used to compliment my dancing.
Chalky said loudly.
Is that so?
It is.
Chalky said.
But they would make you jealous, so I won't repeat them.
Now I'm curious.
Maliki said.
I'm sure you can repeat them to us.
Right, Kanu?
Kanu brushed her hair back.
She glanced between them, unsure of what to do now that she was on the spot.
Well, we are all friends.
Drana chuckled.
Hmm. I leave that for others to say.
Chalky said.
I think you're teasing me.
Maliki folded her arms.
I wonder if he said anything at all?
I said.
Jackson started.
That she was like starlight come down from the sky.
And she danced better than you, Maliki.
Practice more.
Chalky bit her tongue to stop herself from laughing, but Vuntha and Drana didn't bother to keep themselves in check.
They practically fell atop one another.
Well, Drana said.
I guess that great is almost as good as starlight.
Maliki's face was red.
You led me on.
Chalky held Jackson's arm in both hands, resting at his side.
I think you led yourself on.
I told you it would make you jealous.
It's rude to do such things in public, Chalky.
I thought more highly of you than that.
And I didn't think you would try to trip me in the middle of the dance.
What?
Maliki said.
How dare you accuse me of such a thing?
The truth is hard to take, isn't it?
More like made-up tales to save face.
Well, Drana said.
We could go and ask around and see how many people saw you try to knock her over with your right leg during the middle section.
Or you could just shut up about it.
Maliki's mouth worked.
She huffed, and started marching away.
I have better things to do than banter with you.
Kuna glanced after her, then back.
Chalky, did she really go that far?
She did.
Jula noticed as well.
As did at least five others.
Drana said.
Jealousy stings, I suppose.
I will try to smooth things over, Kuna said. I feel as though she hasn't been herself of late.
She worried after the taller girl. Chalky found Jackson's hand and squeezed it. He looked at her and smiled. She smiled back. There was an understanding in his eyes. He might not be a good speaker, but he was keen enough to duck around Malachi's petty motivations.
You know, you are wrong about yourself,
Chalky said. Jackson's eyebrows came together.
What do you mean?
You always have the words, Chalky said. You just don't know how to say them, sometimes.
I guess I should embrace my apathy more,
Chalky chuckled.
If that makes you bolder, I would agree.
Suddenly, she was aware of Bunta. He was staring at their clasped hands.
Jackson Vidalt!
Bunta barked.
Dude, I'm right here. You've ignored my words,
Bunta said.
I thought we had an understanding when you covered for me in front of Shaka. Are you kidding? I just didn't want to make a scene. You misled me.
Jackson glanced at Chalky, then back to Bunta.
I think you misled yourself. Are you trying to provoke me?
I'm not trying to do anything, Jackson said.
I just don't care what you think.
Let's term it apathy. Bunta's knuckles were white. He took a step forward. And then he turned.
I need to speak with my father.
He stomped away over the grass.
I don't think he likes me very much,
Jackson said. Drana laughed.
You have a way with words, Jackson Vidalt. You're only the second person to ever tell me that.
Good riddance to the both of them, Bunta said.
My father might tease Chalky and I about our heads, but at least we can back it up.
Jack, Chalky said.
I don't believe I introduced you to Drana.
She's my best friend. She put a finger to her lip.
Don't take anything she says seriously.
What an introduction, Drana said.
If we were lesser friends, I might be offended.
I don't think anything can offend you, Bunta said.
Yes, you're probably right.
Jackson, Bunta said.
It was good to meet you. Do you know the bow at all?
Jackson frowned.
As in archery? Is there any other bow?
Actually, there is. But I don't know the bow and arrow.
Then add practice shooting to our list, Bunta said. We shall make a day of it and be men under the mountain.
Jackson's green eyes took up that sharpness she so liked. He made his small smile.
Definitely. I'm staying with Shaka, so come and find me whenever you're going.
I will do that.
Hey, Vanta,
Drana said.
Let's go eat together. I still haven't kissed anyone tonight.
Vanta's face blushed from bottom to top.
I will what?
Drana dragged him by the hand, giggling.
See you, Chalky.
Chalky sighed.
I hope she doesn't do anything stupid. Like we were doing?
That was different. Jackson's hand was at her back.
You know,
he said.
I didn't finish with you.
No, you didn't.
I want to.
Me too,
Chalky said.
Maybe tonight?
Yes. I will be in your ceremony with Shaka.
After that, Jackson nodded.
We could meet up near the creek.
Away from the teepees.
And away from Shaka.
No kidding, Jackson said. If she pops up between us again, I think I'll ignore her and keep going.
Chalky felt a dark sort of amusement at the idea.
Jackson mounting her, then Shaka walking in, seeing both of them. How in the world would she react to that? More exciting was their meeting. The time was set. It had only been 5 seconds, and she was already sick of the anticipation. Hadn't she been trying to argue herself back to a slower pace?
Jack, she said. Isn't this too fast?
He shared a glance with her.
You mean us?
Yes.
Our relationship.
Jackson half nodded. He pursed his lips. He shrugged.
Yeah. I was thinking the same thing. But you know what?
What?
I don't care,
he said.
You're amazing. You're beautiful. You're intelligent. And I'm going to take you.
For good, or ill, Chalky's worries washed out of her. She relaxed against his hand.
Good. I think, Jackson said, my luck is finally looking up.
Chalky stood there for a moment, holding him, getting the sense of him.
Jackson.
Hmm?
A moment ago, when Vanta mentioned the bow. What other bow is there, if not the bow and arrow?
Jackson's smile faded. He looked into the night. She could see him almost visibly retreat into himself, like a rabbit ducking into a hole. She disliked it. It felt like he was moving himself away.
Well? It doesn't matter, Jackson said. Jackson!
Shaka was back.
Come, come. Hanta wants to introduce you to the hunters and council members. And there's a few friends of mine and Landry you must meet.
Jackson groaned.
Here we go. Would it be better without me distracting you?
Chalky asked.
What?
He said.
You make this way easier. Stay with me?
What Chalky felt then was the equal of what she'd felt in the tent, but this warmth was in her heart, not her loins. She smiled.
I will stay as long as you will have me. That might be a while, Jackson said. I can live with that.
The next hour of Jackson's life was painful. Hanta and Shaka and Landry shuttled him around, introducing him to this woman who was Drana's aunt, an excellent one to go to for beating, and that man who had more red feathers than anyone else in the tribe, each one earned for a feat of bravery that ended with him getting injured. He met with all the hunters, whom all slapped him on the back too hard, several of their prominent traders, the head drummer. As much as he was hating the process, Jackson privately admitted he was a really cool guy, and then Yucatan again, and every single one of the councilmen and councilwomen, who made up a group of authority that worked both with Yucatan and to check him if he grew too bold.
And of course, he had to meet the man that made their spearheads his uncle, and his son, who was his apprentice, in turn made the arrowheads. Another family, related by marriage, made the shafts for both the spears and the arrows. And they all competed with an entirely different clan in a rivalry going back several generations that also performed all those same functions, because, hey, a little military redundancy never hurt anyone. And then there was another family that did tanning, but wait, they were only one of three families that did that. Jackson was rather stunned to learn that bison brains were used to tan their own hides. This was but one of many facts he was apparently supposed to memorize on the spot, and then Yucatan was there again, saying something funny, and everyone laughed, so Jackson laughed with them, even though he didn't get the joke. He had to get out, but Chalky was there. Sweet, wonderful Chalky. She nudged him when he needed to say something. She critiqued his performance in the brief walks between different groups of people. She whispered names he'd forgotten back to him. Most importantly, she stepped on his foot when he needed to shut his mouth. She was his shield against the masses. He clung to her like a man clings to a life raft in stormy seas. All the while, he munched wasna. It was like eating pebbles of jerky. It was made by grinding up bison meat into a fine, dry powder. That was mixed with marrow fat, and poured into bags, where it could keep for several years. They made different flavors, of a sort, by mixing in dried berries and other fruit. It was a vital component of their meals, especially during the winter or on long hunts. Better yet, it was surprisingly good. And if his mouth was full, he wasn't expected to do as much talking. When the introductions died down, Jackson was guided to a teepee in the center of camp. The council tent was almost twice the size as the others. Each council member carried part of it when the camp changed locations. Shaka sat him down inside, piled some dry fuel in the fire pit, and told him to wait. And then she left. The teepee didn't have a floor. He was seated on dirt. He supposed they didn't want to spare all the hides needed to keep it covered. The ground was cold under his legs. He closed his eyes and enjoyed the quiet. A wind brushed the outside of the tent. The long beams holding the teepee up creaked slightly. That was certainly something he noticed about the plains. The wind was never gone for long. He supposed that the land was so flat that there was nothing to break it up. The entrance to the tent opened. Hanta came in first. Jackson had discovered he was a member of the council himself, earlier. Chalky told him it was out of respect that he did not flaunt his position, unlike a certain elder's son. He nodded to Jackson, but said nothing, and took a seat near the back. The other counselors followed just behind. They came in silence, sitting in a ring at the edge of the teepee. All eyes were on Jackson, who was left alone in the center, near the fire. He fidgeted. Remembering Chalky telling him that was unbecoming, he tucked his hands under his thighs. The clean freak in the back of his cerebellum immediately lobbied for him to pick at his nails. Yucatan came in, next along with Bunta. Their eyes met, but Bunta didn't break the silence. Jackson decided there was an importance to the quiet, so he avoided a sigh. Something was off. Shaka had said there were no special instructions. He just had to sit there and wait. But this felt solemn. There was a heavy sense of waiting. But for what, exactly? They knew what. He didn't. It was starting to bug him. Two more figures entered the tent. Their heads were concealed by huge white masks. Jackson realized they were bison skulls. One of them was carrying a flame. It burned from within a hollowed-out horn, an improvised torch. It took him a second, but he realized that it was Shaka and Chalky. Chalky met his eyes through the two holes in her skull. He smiled at her, but she said nothing. She knelt near the fire and lit the fuel with her horn torch. Dried grass at the bottom caught almost immediately, and the rest went up quickly. Jackson leaned back. His spot was just a little too close for comfort. Sweat began to bead on his forehead. He wasn't sure if he was allowed to move. Chalky went behind him and seated herself opposite the entrance, still holding her flame. Shaka stood before him then. The orange light danced across her skull. She looked like a demon. She pinched something from a pouch at her side and cast her hand out. Dust flew over the fire. It turned to golden cinders as the heat caught it. They swirled around the flames. He could smell it in the air, the acrid cinnamon vinegar he remembered from Shaka's tent. "Shakan," she said. "This one would join us." Shaka threw another handful of dust at the fire. This was less dust, though, and more like a clump of mud. When it landed, the flames transformed from orange to violet. The purple glare filled the teepee. "Shakan! This one would join us!" Shaka again drew more dust from her pouches. She leaned over the fire and sprinkled it carefully. The flames flashed white, then returned to their normal orange color. "Shakan! Hear me! This one would join us!" "I hear you, spirit guide." Jackson shifted his eyes, glancing about without making it obvious. He was too close to the fire. It was impossible to see their faces. Had anyone else heard that? "Shakan!" Shaka called. She raised her arms. "This one would join us! I will speak to him." The flames vanished. The teepee was dark. Jackson blinked at the sudden lack of heat, and then they roared back to life, but this time, the fire was black. It flickered in shades of gray. It sucked the color out of the air. It felt like a geyser of cold air. But Jackson wasn't looking at the fire. He was looking at the back of his left hand. The inverted pentagram cut into his flesh had turned pure white. Shaka lowered her arms. She looked back at him. Her eyes were white, pure white, as if her pupils had rolled back into her skull. Her arm extended forward. She pointed a finger at him. "Jackson, Vidalt." That was not Shaka's voice. Jackson swallowed. "Yeah? My will is weak, outside my home." "They know, you have survived. they will send hunters. There is little time. If you are not strong, and soon, then you will die.
Who are you?
Jackson asked.
Who is they?
I have many names. They are the fallen. And they will not tolerate your existence. Come to the place under the mountain. I will speak to you properly, there.
Come on.
Jackson said. Give me something.
Anything.
What the hell is Isis? What's with the pentagrams? What about the game? What happened to that? My power, sent in piecemeal, it was not enough. They cut it off before it could take root. The fallen will soon reach the gate of heaven. They must be stopped. We were given a chance when Emil Muhammad found a way to contact me.
What?
Jackson's brain was on the verge of bursting. Then he actually found real-life magic? What's the gate of heaven? I cannot spare the strength now. The voice said through Shaka's mouth. Our plan is close to fruition. Come to the place under the mountain. Shaka will know to give you my blessing. Some of my power will go to you. Since you are the first, you may have the greatest chance. But you will also be targeted. Do not tarry. Hold on. Jackson said. He tried to stand, but he couldn't move. His legs were glued underneath him. You're some fucking demon beckoning me into the bowels of the earth, and that's all you have to tell me? Shaka's shoulders twitched forward. She stepped through the black fire and stood directly over Jackson. White orbs stared down at him. There is hope for us yet. You are greedy. That is good. You will need your vices to survive. An arm fell loose from Shaka's side. It latched onto his head with a claw-like grip. Then I will give you a second boon. Jackson felt something rise out of him. It rushed up through his body and into her hand. His stomach flipped. What the hell was this thing doing to him? The hand left his head. The puppet Shaka stepped backward through the fire, until it was standing where it had been. I have taken your need to sleep. It will not pass to those you bond. But it should help. And Shaka will give you your title. Do. Not. Tari. The fire roared orange. Shaka's eyes were back. She heaved in air. Shaka. Jackson shouted. She held out a palm, stopping him from getting up. I am fine. It is always the same when she takes me. Shaka took another long breath. I am not finished with you. Jackson settled back. Shaka reached into her pouches. She came back out with nothing less than an essence crystal. She raised it aloft, then crushed it in her grip. White light shone from her hand. She drew in the air with her index finger. Where her finger traced, lines of light followed. She painted a glowing wall of hieroglyphics. Jackson Vidalt. She said. I give you this title from Shakan. You are no longer Jackson Vidalt. You are White Bison. Tatanka Ska. It was as if she spoke with two voices. Something echoed under her normal throaty words, a second phrase. It meant the same, though. He was hearing their language as it was not translated, not English. The white lines began to move. They peeled back from the air like white ink lifting from paper. The symbols spiraled downward, condensed into a ball, and flew through the center of the fire. They struck Jackson in the chest. He grunted. He could feel it sit inside of him, spread out. It was like ants running under his skin. He shivered. And the feeling settled, and vanished. A transparent game screen flicked up in front of him. A bright cheery tone played inside his head, as if he'd leveled up. You've gained a new title. Titles are powerful passive enhancements. You may receive them when powerful factions acknowledge you. Title, Tatanka Ska, 10% increase to strength, 10% increase to vitality, 15% increase to spirit dam. That was a sweet upgrade. Shaka fell. Jackson leapt from his seat, but he didn't beat Chaki. She was already on her feet and sprinting forward.
Shaka! What on earth did you do?
Child, that was close to too much, I think.
We're both still recovering. You shouldn't have done that.
Shaka waved her back and sat up on her own. She gave a long, tired sigh.
Shakan demanded it. How did you even do that? I haven't seen those runes before.
Neither, have I. I do not believe I could repeat that if I tried.
Shakan was with me.
Shaka, what has happened? Yucatan asked.
Tell us the meaning of this.
Jackson, no.
I'm sorry.
She shook her head.
Tatanka Ska. You shall not speak Shakan's words. They were for your ears only.
Jackson decided that it was not the time to argue.
Got it. For you, elder and counselors.
Shaka said.
Shakan spoke to the man formerly known as Jackson Vidalt, using myself as a vessel. He has been accepted as a man under the mountain. He has been renamed to Tatanka Ska, and Shakan has commanded him to appear in the place under the mountain. When we arrive at the meet, I shall bring him with me, and the other spirit guides.
Is this all you can say? Yucatan asked.
Yes.
Yucatan didn't look excited about that, but he nodded.
I understand. I leave guidance in this matter to you. Is it still acceptable that we leave the day after tomorrow?
It is. Yucatan looked at Jackson. He placed his hands together and bowed.
Tanaka Ska. May the ground be calm beneath your feet.
He gestured to the others. The counselors rose. Some of the friendlier ones addressed him by his new name. The others nodded in quiet but polite acknowledgement. All of them wanted to get out of that teepee. Jackson had similar thoughts. Chaki removed her skull and tucked it under her arm. She shook her head to loose her hair.
Tanaka Ska. It is a powerful name. You can just call me Jack, Chaki.
She shook her head.
I am glad to hear you say so, but this is different.
You are not Jackson Vidalt any longer. You are Tanaka Ska.
Jackson wasn't sure how to take it. Superpowers aside, at the end of the day, he was only just himself. The title was cool, but he actually liked his name.
All right, Jackson said. If you have to. But let's shorten it again. Part of my tradition, part of yours.
How about that? Chaki smiled.
That sounds acceptable. Then, just Tanaka?
I guess. Chaki leaned very close. Her words were barely audible.
I will be at the creek.
She drew back.
Good night then, Tanaka. She said.
Good night. Chaki left the tent, and then it was just him and Shaka.
So,
Jackson said.
What now?
You are ever ready for more.
Shaka said.
I would not be so eager if I were you. She lifted the skull from her head. She brushed a hand through her hair, smoothing the gray strands out from where they'd been matted down.
I must teach you all I know. There is not enough time for you to jam it all into your head, but we will try.
Heh. Jackson smiled.
That's where you're wrong.
Explain.
You forget that I can go back to my world.
Jackson said.
Let me see. Basically, you could say that we have methods for recording runes. I can learn some from you, go back, record them, then return and memorize a few more. I won't be able to take it in all at once, but with all your runes stored away, I'll be able to learn them at my own pace.
Shaka smiled.
This is a relief. I did not hear the specifics when Shakan took me, but I know that danger is circling in upon you, Tanaka Ska.
Jackson opened his mouth to speak, but Shaka stopped him.
No. It is not for me to know. Tomorrow, after you have your practice with Vuntha and Hanta, come to my teepee. I will teach you all I know of magic, and then I will pass as many runes to you as your world's method can hold.
That won't be a problem. We can hold a lot of them.
Really? How many would you say?
Jackson snorted.
It's hard to make a comparison. There's nothing like it here.
He tapped a finger on his chin.
All right. Imagine all the words that everyone in the band has spoken.
Every single word that every person has ever said over their whole lives.
Shaka looked contemplative.
That many?
More.
Jackson said. If our storage space is like the prairie, then all the words I just mentioned would fit in a little bit of dirt.
Incredible.
Shaka said. It is no wonder that Shakan has reached to your people for aid. It's a wonder, all right.
Jackson mumbled.
What?
Nothing. Jackson said.
Ah.
Shaka covered her mouth.
Now I am tired. Take your rest when you would. My tent is open to you. I will see you during the next Sunday.
Jackson left the council teepee with her. She buttoned the entrance flap behind her, then walked toward her own tent. Jackson cut away toward the creek. The fires of the camp had been allowed to burn low. He watched his feet carefully as he wove between the tents. Jackson could see a few men scattered here and there on the periphery lookouts, watching the night, armed with spears and bows. After the raid, they weren't taking chances. The creek was a few dozen yards from the camp at its closest point. He glanced about, but didn't see Chalky. She'd probably moved further down to avoid any more interruptions. He started along the edge of the water. The creek bent out and toward the great flat emptiness. The stars were incredible. Streams of them hung in a purple midnight sky, great clumps and clouds of light against the darkness. The moon must have washed them out the night before. He would never have this view in the sprawl. He'd seen pictures of the Milky Way in textbooks, a relatively broad line of stars and gas. This wasn't the neat edge of a spiral that he expected. It curved, and was especially fat on one end. He wondered what sort of galaxy this world sat upon. He still didn't have the answers he wanted. Who were the Fallen? Why did they want him dead? What was the Gate of Heaven? Something that needed to be protected, apparently. Shaka had said that the angels were building Babel up toward the world that was connected to the above his world. Was Earth really all that special? He sighed. He knew a few of the big stories, but he wasn't exactly a biblical scholar. Maybe he could do some research back on home turf. The great outdoors was great and all, but he was a paragon of high technology, not natural living. He glanced back and felt a touch of worry. He'd walked far enough to be on the border of shouting distance from the camp. He was confident that he'd be able to fend off an attacker, but Chalky wasn't built like he was invincible, to a fault. He heard a voice. It sounded male. Jackson crouched. He squinted into the darkness. There were two figures on his side of the creek. He could just make out their shadows against the sky. He crept in closer. His moccasins were quiet on the grass. I won't.
Jackson strained his ears.
Sacred animal.
There was a second voice, less gruff. He thought it might be Chalky.
You'll have, with it.
See that, he doesn't belong here? He was close enough to hear, now. He pegged the other voice, Bunta. Had he followed her out here? He wondered if he should reveal himself, or stay quiet. He decided to listen, and carefully went prone in the grass.
Whether you like it or not, he's part of the tribe.
Chalky said.
Shakan herself has spoken through Shaka.
Now leave me be. I came here to get away from the camp, not be pestered by you. He is an outsider.
Bunta insisted.
You would go against Shakan? If it means protecting you?
Yes.
I would go against anyone, and anything. Who protects your soul? Who provides for our lives? If you spurn Shakan, Shakan will spurn you. Then let Shakan spurn me. I will thrive with or without the plains. I am not impressed.
Leave me be.
I will have you, Chalky. I will depose Jackson Vidalt from your affections. You will see.
No, Bunta.
Chalky said.
you will never have me. I'm sick and tired of your bluster and your arrogance.
I was done with you before Takanaska. His name is Jackson Vidalt.
Bunta said, his voice louder.
I do not acknowledge that other name. It does not belong to him. I don't care what you choose to call him.
Chaki shouted.
I have had enough of you. I will be civil to you in public, but that is all I will be. Get out of my sight or I shall ignore you outright until Mother Earth gnaws on your bones.
There was a thump. Chaki yelped. Jackson blinked, confused. It looked like she tripped.
I will have you. Growled Bunta.
What our dash. The shadow of Bunta fell on top of her, pinning her to the ground.
Shut up.
Get off of me.
Chaki shrieked.
Don't make me strike you. Jackson remembered the next few instants in a series of still images. He was on his feet. He was running mid-stride. He lowered his shoulder and struck Bunta in the side. The larger man rolled across the dirt. Jackson hit the ground on his knees and quickly stood. Bunta was getting up. Just as the man put his feet under himself, Jackson's foot slammed into his stomach. Bunta doubled over and wheezed. Jackson simply fell on top of him. His dropped his elbow into Bunta's back, driving him into the dirt. He sat on top of him and put his hands on Bunta's neck.
You little fucking shit.
Jackson said. If you touch her again, I'll fucking kill you.
You got that?
Jackson grabbed the back of his head and shoved it into the mud. Did you fucking hear me? Bunta mumbled and coughed something. Jackson got off of him and took a few steps back. He was breathing like he'd run a mile. His fists were clenched. He had half a mind to finish what he'd started. Bunta got back up. He was hunched slightly, clutching where Jackson had kicked him in the gut. They stared at each other.
You.
Bunta pointed at him.
This isn't over, Jackson Vidalt.
This isn't over. For your sake. Jackson said.
You better fucking hope it is.
Bunta spat at him. It struck Jackson in the leg. Jackson didn't react. Bunta limped around him. He kept his eyes on Jackson until he was far enough away that he felt safe enough to turn his back. Jackson watched him go.
Jack?
I mean, Tanaka. Jackson turned back.
Chaki, are you all right?
Yes. She was on her feet. She embraced him, and then she was crying. She pulled at her shirt and bawled into his chest. He really would have.
I never thought he.
Jackson held her. He rubbed a hand through her hair and let her cry it out. He hadn't thought Bunta was that bad either. He was just another prick that was high on himself. Those were a dime a dozen. But this was different.
Should we tell Shaka?
Jackson asked.
I don't know.
I sure. Jackson kept rubbing her, trying to get her to calm down.
I've got you.
You're fine, Chaki. I won't let anything hurt you. I swear.
Yeah.
She sniffed a bit, and then her voice was more or less back to normal. He was furious that you'd been accepted into the tribe. Maybe it was the name that set him off.
Tanaka Ska.
White bison. Jackson asked. She nodded.
A sacred animal.
I remember. Jackson said. Shaka mentioned it when she was giving my case to Yucatan, when we first got back. It's a symbol, right?
More than that.
Chaki said. The white bison is, it's a sign that things will be okay. That the best days have yet to come. That survival doesn't have to be a struggle. That life will be full and fulfilling. I can't imagine a better name.
I think,
Jackson said, that all you people think a shit ton better of me than I do of myself.
Chaki snorted.
A shit ton? I have not heard that one before. You learn something new every day.
A good phrase.
She looked up at him. In the darkness, her brown eyes were pitch black. Perhaps you might learn that you think too little of yourself.
Always with the comebacks.
He rubbed the back of her neck. Feeling up to walking back?
Spirits.
She said.
He almost, ugh.
It's like I need to wash him off me.
I'll wait.
Jackson offered.
If you wouldn't mind.
Sure. Jackson let her drift away from him. He sat on the ground and looked up at the stars. He heard the rustle of clothes and then the splash of water. She waded into the creek.
Aren't you joining me?
She asked. Jackson half turned his head over his shoulder. I figured maybe you'd just like a nice wash.
No pressure.
After that, experience.
You would never hurt me.
She said. I trust you. So if that's all that keeps you on the shore, then get in the water. Jackson hesitated. Was it really okay? Water sprayed the back of his neck and hair. He jumped up and turned.
What the hell?
Chaki was laughing. You didn't move fast enough for my liking. Perhaps you think I'm ugly? Jackson faced her. The center of creek was deep enough to go up to her abdomen, just below her breasts. Beads of water dripped down between her modest cleavage, reflecting the stars like little twinkles of light. The water stuck her hair to her skin. I think, you're the most beautiful woman I've ever seen. Chaki drew a breath. Her breasts bobbed on her chest. She smiled.
You mean that?
Yeah. Jackson said. She turned her head and gave him a sly look. So, continuing from where we left off, I was wondering why you were still wearing all those clothes. Jackson didn't need any more hints. He brought his shirt over his head and tossed it on the bank. He worked his belt loose and stepped out of his leggings. He slid into the water. The mud squished under his feet.
A little cold.
He mumbled.
So let me warm you up.
Jackson waded in deeper. He met her in the center. He wrapped his arms around her back and kissed her. She draped herself over his neck. It wasn't an urgent, harsh kiss, like it had been back in the teepee. This was gentle, passionate. They had all the time they needed.
Wash my back, she said. She turned away from him.
He cupped a handful of water and let it fall over her body. He could just make out the freckles that lined the top of her shoulders. He rubbed circles on her back, as much to wipe away the dirt as to feel her skin. She pressed into him. Her body was a mix of soft and hard places. Her legs and abdomen were muscled. The ass pressing into him was not. He felt himself starting to harden, even in the chilled water.
Is that your arousal? She asked.
Yes.
Good.
Jackson traced a line up her spine with his fingers. He slipped his hands down her front and grasped her breasts, one in each hand. They were small, but each one filled his palms comfortably. No excess skin.
Hmm.
She pressed back against him and rubbed her bottom into his erection.
That's nice.
Jackson leaned his head down and kissed her cheek. She turned to meet him, and their lips fell together. Their tongues lazily slid in lazy circles. He kneaded her breasts in his hands, rolling them between his fingers. She rewarded him with a small moan. He kept kissing her. His hands left her breasts, traveled lower. He felt at the taut smoothness of her stomach, and then lower, to her hips. He smoothed his hands over her thighs. Powerful muscle shifted under his touch. He could get lost in those long legs. They were caught on the edge between the power of a runner and the balance of the dancer. She broke off their kiss and turned in his arms until she faced him.
No, she said. I wash you.
She cupped water and let it fall over his chest. She trailed her fingers across him. Your skin is just so different.
Jack. I thought I was Tanaka.
He said.
Hmm.
In public. But since Shakan gave you a new name, I might as well take your old one all for myself.
I think I like that idea.
Jackson said.
I thought you might.
Her fingers rubbed at his back for a bit, then returned to his chest. And then they dipped below the water, to his hips, and then lower, to his length. She stopped there, fingers resting lightly on his now mostly hardened cock. She was staring past him. All her attention was on what she was feeling below the surface of the creek. She traced the outline of his hardness, taking stock of its shape by touch. Jackson felt his heart start up again. His blood was being drawn by her curiosity. He felt himself twitch as she brushed him. She smiled, and kept moving her fingers. It wasn't long until he was fully erect. Her fingers left him. She kissed him on the chin.
Jack, she said.
Take me up on the shore.
And
Jackson dipped down and brought a hand around her knees. He lifted her into his arms. He wasn't the strongest man in the world, but the water helped him, and he wasn't going far. He laid her down on the bank. She turned over, onto her hands and knees. She lifted her hips up.
Is this right?
Here, Jackson said. He pushed her legs in slightly so that her ass was just at the right height. Keep your legs there, but move your head so you're comfortable.
Okay.
She shifted her arms slightly. He placed his hands on her hips. His blood was pounding in his ears. His cock moved slightly, jumping with every heartbeat. He slid himself under her slit, testing her. There was a wet warmth that was not from the creek. He looked down at her. He felt like he should say something romantic, something to announce himself. Everything that came to mind felt stupid. It was like, this was his first time. His real first time.
Jack?
Yeah?
Will it hurt?
Jackson rubbed his hand on the small of her back.
It might a little.
But it goes away quick. As far as I know.
Chalky nodded.
I'm ready when you are.
I'll be gentle, he said.
I know. Jackson pressed the head of his cock into her, slowly. Chalky stiffened and sucked in air through her nose. Her ass lifted slightly. He drew back, then pressed in again. She groaned. He could feel her wetness start to flow in full.
That was good.
He couldn't have too much lubrication for this. He pushed in an inch, and then he felt contact with that barrier.
Ready?
Jackson asked.
Yes.
He drew out, then thrust in again quickly. He broke through. Air rushed between Chalky's teeth. Jackson held himself just a little bit further in, letting her adjust, letting the pain fade. Chalky moved her head. She shifted her hips.
Keep going.
Jackson drew out, then pressed in again. It was like sliding into hot silk. She wrapped him up so tight he could only get halfway in. Her muscles kept contracting around him. He wasn't sure if they were pushing him away or sucking him in. Jackson withdrew, then pressed in, harder. This time, his hips met her bottom. His length was engulfed. He closed his eyes and groaned. He wanted to stretch that feeling out as long as possible. Chalky was breathing loudly.
It's like so full, she said.
Fullness.
Is it? How do I feel?
You feel amazing, Jackson said. He fixed his hands at her hips and drew out. She whimpered as he left her. He pushed in again, and she moaned in response. He set a slow pace, retreating almost to the head of his cock, then pushing all the way back and Chalky's back arced. If anything, she was getting tighter as her body clenched up, but her wetness let him glide through smoothly. He thrust into her hole, back out, back in. Jackson increased the pace. His thrust grew shorter, but harder. There was a light tap when their flesh met. Chalky was panting. She craned her neck back at him.
Spirits, Jack, Chalky, you feel so fucking good.
You have no idea. Her eyes changed. She got that look again, the look of a predator that wanted to swallow him.
Talk to me again.
Say dirty things.
Hot things.
I told you, Jack said. He leaned over her as he kept thrusting into her.
Smart girls like dirty talk.
I do,
Chalky said. I really do.
Jackson grabbed a fistful of her hair and pulled just hard enough to move her head. He set his other hand on her back to balance himself, pressing her torso into the ground. He shoved his cock into her harder.
I'm taking you from behind, Chalky,
he said.
Do you like that? Knowing that I'm mounting you like a mare?
Oh, yes.
She groaned the words.
Keep fucking you?
Keep fucking me.
She hissed back. Jackson did as she asked.
He thrust into her faster. Their flesh clapped together. Her hips were shoving back into his, trying to drive him in deeper. He slapped his hand on her ass. She squealed.
You like getting fucked like that?
Jackson asked her.
You like getting spanked?
She moaned in between gasps.
Yeah. Yeah, like that.
Don't stop.
Jackson pressed over her until his chest was against her back.
He groped for one of her breasts.
He squeezed it tight in his hand and used it as leverage to fuck her harder.
She was a ball of sounds and sensation, now moans, squeals.
Her hands were tearing at the grass. He could feel her hole fluttering around his cock.
It kept squeezing, releasing, then squeezing again.
He kept up his rhythm, trying to power through the sensation that was causing.
He was starting to get really close.
You like getting mounted?
He whispered to her.
He stopped making it a question.
You like getting taken from behind.
You like getting fucked like an animal.
Jackson let her breasts go and grabbed her hair again, bending her neck so she had to look at him.
Yes.
Chalky moaned. She stared at Jackson as he thrust into her.
Spirits, I love it. Fuck me like that.
Aye, release it into me.
I want your seed, Jack.
Jackson's cock spasmed. He gritted his teeth and clenched his ass, fighting the sudden surge. He barely stopped himself from coming into her right there.
Chalky.
He slowed slightly, trying to get a breath.
Maybe I shouldn't not inside you.
What? Chalky's eyes were stuck between confusion and pleasure.
Don't you, it's just, if you got I shouldn't dash.
He broke off as she slid her body over his length, picking up where he'd left off. She pulled against his hold on her hair. He grunted and bit the inside of his cheek to try and distract himself.
He needed to pull out. She pressed back into him, following him as he tried to scoot back.
Spirits.
South close to MFF, Jack, please, inside of me.
Your seed I dash.
She clenched her legs, then shoved her tight hold back over his cock.
Our children will be strong, I swear, if that's what you I need you to oh give it to me.
The tendril of reason that had held Jackson back snapped in two.
One hand pulled her hair, his other held her hips steady.
He slammed into her, driving deeper.
He drew back, and slammed again, and then a third time, Chalky arced.
Her body shuddered.
A high-pitched note escaped from her lips, and then it was cut off.
She came against him, breathless.
Her pussy clenched around his cock, and this time, it didn't let go.
The tightness sent him over the edge. He spasmed.
He could feel his sack tighten, and he shot into her.
He released himself in burning, twitching jets as he ground in as deep as he could go. A growl rolled out from his mouth.
His arm encircled her waist, keeping her pinned against him.
They fell to the ground on their sides. He kept cocking her, enjoying the wet warmth that surrounded him.
A heat that smelled like sweat and sex surrounded them.
He buried his nose in her hair and inhaled.
He bobbed his hips gently, sliding his weakening erection in and out of her. They lay there in the afterglow of pleasure, bodies recovering from the exertion.
Jackson had never experienced anything like that.
He was hardly looking to start a family, but her insisting that she'd bear him strong children was, if he was perfectly honest, intensely erotic.
Dealing with the consequences, though, Chalky made a soft sigh.
Oh, Jack.
That was, I have no words.
I'll teach you all the words you'll need.
Chalky made a closed-eye smile.
Then I'll be able to entice you out properly.
Chalky, you don't have to entice me.
I've never felt like this, for anyone else.
You were everything I wanted.
She nuzzled her face into his neck.
I'm glad.
She looked at him.
Jack?
Hmm?
I'm yours.
His next words rumbled from somewhere in his chest.
It was the way her eyes glowed as they looked into his.
It was the feeling of his half-erection resting inside her.
It was the way he held her body to him.
Possessing her.
You're mine.
Chalky licked her lips and nodded.
And I'm yours too,
Jack said.
Good.
Chalky gripped the arm that encircled her.
Mine.
A light flashed. Jackson winced.
Chalky squinted and angled her face away.
It looked like burning magnesium. Steadily, his eyes started to adjust.
Chalky and Jackson stared as an inverted white pentagram wavered into existence on the back Chalky's left hand.
It wasn't like Jackson's ugly scar. This was a neat, symmetrical sign, as if an artist had just finished a tiny tattoo on her skin.
Chalky blinked at the pentagram.
Huh!
A translucent screen appeared in front of Jackson. You have created a bond. A pledge of full loyalty between yourself and another party activates a bond. You are capable of sustaining up to 5 bonds simultaneously. A bond transfers power between both the bonder and bonded. The bonded gains the strength of the starmarked. The bonder accrues new powers based on the traits of the bonded. A bond can only be broken by death. Choose a point upon which to place this bond. The point represents an affiliation that will grant a boon to the bonded. Only one bond can be attached to each point. If you do not wish to create a bond at this time, exit the menu.
The words vanished once he'd finished reading them.
An expanded version of his inverted pentagram blossomed into view near his head.
The 5 points were all labeled. The sunrise, the north star, the abyss, the legion, the fall, the sunrise, and north star were the upper right and left points of the star. The abyss and the legion were the lower right and left.
The bottom of the star, the point facing down, was labeled the fall. Whatever the hell that meant.
Jackson?
Yeah? Chalky pointed at the pentagram hanging in the air. The symbol on her hand was still blazing white.
What in the name of Shakan, the sun, and the Mother Earth does that all mean?
Give me a sec.
I mean a sec.
I'm figuring that out. She laughed.
Still lost in the moment?
Maybe a little. Jackson frowned.
Wait. Did you see all those words?
That stuff about the bond?
Yeah.
Was it talking about us?
And now, Chalky could see his Isis game screens.
I think so. Jackson muttered.
Bunta had doubled back. The bruising on his stomach wasn't as bad as it had felt at first. Jackson wasn't that strong. He only had to turn the same advantage of surprise back on him. And then he heard the splashing water and Chalky's laughter.
Bunta stood there in the night. Part of him wanted to run. Part of him had to know how far they were going to go. They murmured to one another. Words of passion, of want. They watched one another. He saw his silhouette carry her out of the water and lay her on the riverbank. Bunta's heart shattered into pieces. He turned back toward the camp, moving swiftly. He couldn't bear any more of it. His hands were over his ears without him realizing it. His fingers burned there, as if he could dig out the words that had reached him. He was at his tent. It was a burden to maintain his own teepee independently of his father, especially as he was lacking a wife. He had thought that vacancy would be filled. He slammed his fist into one of the beams that supported the tent. It crunched inward. A splinter shot into his palm. He hardly felt it. He'd ignored the stone, for a time. But now he grasped for it eagerly, rummaging through the furs at the back of his tent. He lifted the smooth green pebble into his hand. It wafted with a hazy glow, almost as if it were smoking. He squeezed it. A bright white line traced across it, then another, and another. The same three runes repeated themselves in a regular pattern, foreign pictographs he didn't understand. He waited. He tapped his foot. He pushed out a sigh.
Commander Telad here. Bunta, are you on the other end of this thing?
Yes. Bunta said.
Good.
The commander answered. Look, I know why you weren't answering. My man got your girl mixed up with one of the others.
Needless to say, I owe you and Dash. I don't care about that.
Bunta shouted. He lowered his voice.
I don't care anymore.
All right. The commander's voice said.
What is it you wanted to discuss?
What would you give me?
Bunta said. If I could tell you where all five of the tribes of the people under the mountain would be in 10 days?
There was a long quiet.
Well, the commander said. I think you could very well name your price.
That is what I wanted to hear.
Bunta said.
I want to meet.
In person.
I want to discuss this in detail. Can you ride out tomorrow?
I can find excuse.
Bunta said. You're still encamped where you were before?
Yes.
Then we can meet at the same spot, unless you think it's been compromised.
No.
Bunta said.
No one suspects me. I'm the single tree in a field of mud, Commander.
There was a chuckle on the other end of the magical connection.
That much is obvious.
I'll greet you at high sun tomorrow.
I will be there.
This story is continued in the next part. This podcast is part of the Erotica Podcast Network. We offer a free Erotica podcast and a premium patron taboo podcast which contains more intense sexual themes. You can subscribe to the premium podcast for $2 per month or support the Erotica Podcast on Patreon to support us and allow members to request future stories and themes. Links are in the description. Thank you for listening.